Luna, the moon. 238,000 miles away from Earth, influencer of tides, destroyer of Hylian worlds, untilling time travels, the name of an adorable talking cat, and now, Amazon's latest streaming platform. On Live, Gaikai, Liquid Sky, GeForce Now, Stadia, xCloud, PlayStation Now, and now, Luna, to the moon with your packets. Come back down for re-entry and join your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki for news on Luna's offerings announced so far and the rest of the week's gaming news starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are back once again on this Sunday, September the 27th of 2020, with episode number 837 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joined not tonight by Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She has the night off, as it is Yom Kippur today. Hope all of our listeners who are partaking in that are having an easy fast. We may have less folks here live as a result, but maybe some folks catching up with us throughout the week via our podcast or our subscribers over at Twitch at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, where we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, might be catching up with the extra video that subscribers get for being subscribed to the VOG Network. By the way, today is last Sunday anyway of September. So if you want to get a discount on those subscriptions, we really appreciate it. And all that goes back to help the network and help us pay our taxes every year, because we're paying more taxes than some people. But please help me welcome to the show someone who I know is paying his taxes and doing his part. Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hey, Loki, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Good to see you, as always. What is this behind you tonight? You've got Bubble Bobble. You're going old school and classic tonight.
It's the NES Bubble Bobble. It was one of the first three games I had for the NES.
Oh, I like that. Okay. And that's, you just decided to pick Bubble Bobble for that reason, or?
Yeah, because I had trouble. I've run through a lot of the games already each week, so like I'm just like, what should I put this week?
I was thinking there
I could have put a Bethesda game or something.
Yeah, but... yeah, it would be topical. We'll get into that in a second, obviously. I thought maybe there was a clue there that like maybe the mystery Loki game that you're making has something to do with Bubble Bobble. Okay, I need to stop reading into things so damn much.
No,
right?
it's just I needed something to put in the background, and I didn't want to repeat stuff I've had already. So okay. It was Bubble Bobble this week. Yeah,
fair. Over in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, Bobby Blackwell says, my first games on the NES. I had the power set, so I had Super Mario, Duck Hunt, World Class Track Meet, and then I had Pro Wrestling and Top Gun. This is a good question. Y'all in chat, first system and games that you had for said system. Let's elaborate on that a bit. I'm trying to think what I – well, my first system was really an Atari 2600, honestly. And I remember Combat – and I remember Spider-Man. I think I've talked enough about Spider-Man on this show in the past few episodes. I'm trying to remember what else I own. Oh, Superman. I guess I was a superhero kid. I do remember having Superman. Did you ever play Superman on the Atari 2600?
No.
It was really weird. You flew through these different screens and there was this little bling, bling, bling little thing. I think it was like Krypton or something that would chase you. You were trying to get Lois Lane. It played very strange. So that was an early game that I had. All right, what did you want to say, Loki, adding to that?
Oh, I was going to say, so my first three games that I got on the NES, because we got it secondhand, I believe, was Bubble Bobble, The Legend of Zelda, because that's one I really wanted, and Breakthrough. Kind of random, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Zelda was like the first game outside of Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. I didn't have the PowerPad system, but I'm pretty sure Zelda was also bought around the same time, because that was the game that like really probably got me like super into gaming and made me more of a gamer, quite frankly. Let's see, other comments in chat, checking out what folks are saying. Pod Culture says Atari 2600, Combat, E.T. and Pac-Man. Those were some must-have games, even though two of them were kind of garbage. She-Hulk 10 says ColecoVision, and it scrolled off the screen, Donkey Kong. ColecoVision had some good stuff. ColecoVision, we never had one, but our friends had one. Let's see, other stuff. Fifth Dream says, I played Superman a lot. Okay, glad it wasn't just me. The Breakman says, Atari 2600 Ghostbusters. Now, that was one of the first games I remember picking up for the Commodore 64. I remember going to a computer store, and, well, I didn't buy it. I was like 6 or 7, but I remember my dad buying it for me because, you know, gimme. Well, that was also when they would have the computers that would play games, like, and they'd be on display, and Ghostbusters was one of the games they were showing off. I guess not too far apart from how you'd have, like, an Xbox or a PlayStation kiosk set up in a Best Buy or a GameStop in these days. You kind of try before you buy. I remember that's how I discovered Sid Meier's Civilization. I spent hours at a store. I don't know how they let me stay at that damn store. Hours playing Civ on a computer at the store. It was crazy.
I did have a ColecoVision as well. I can't remember what the first few games were because I think that was during the crash. So my dad had like 50 games for a system that he says he never like did gaming and stuff. Like he had 50 games for that. So I think he got them so dirt cheap. But like I used to play a ton of the Smurfs, Jumpman Jr. and Bump and Jump on that.
Okay. Good. I didn't know Jumpman Jr. was on ColecoVision, but I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Epic. Yeah. Epic's put their games out a lot of places. Yeah. Cool. All right. From retro games to modern games, let's get into tonight's kickoff topic. Obviously, there's a big, big story, and everybody's got a hot take on this. And this has to do with Microsoft and their acquisition of Bethesda and ID Software, all under the parent company of ZeniMax, right, Loki? Tell us more.
Yes. So, yeah, out of the crack of dawn on September 21st, we got the announcement that apparently ID Software's parent company, ZeniMax, which owns, you know, Bethesda, ID Software, and a lot of other subsidiaries as well, they were purchased for $7.5 billion by Microsoft. Which is incredible. So apparently, you know, that adds a whole ton of games to their roster as well. It seems like that this has been purchased just for, well, to definitely help out with Games Pass and adding more titles to that. But I mean, as someone who has decided to purchase an Xbox this time around, it's just making my purchase even better. So I love it.
And as to why, some folks may wonder, why did I put on the sidebar Microsoft acquires Bethesda and I didn't put Microsoft acquires ZeniMax? Well, Bethesda's a part of that. But also, and what I kind of relate this to, every E3, we have the Bethesda press conference, right? We have the Bethesda event, Bethesda E3. Well, Microsoft now owns everything that you've been shown in that particular, reel for the past couple years. So,
yeah
kind of interesting. Is that all you wanted to say on it?
No, not at all. Please. So of course, you know, the obvious concern is, well, what's that going to do with these exclusive games that Sony has, you know, for Bethesda? Or does that mean that I can't get Elder Scrolls 6 on, you know, the PlayStation 5? Well, apparently that's not necessarily going to be the case. That they are confirmed that they're right now going to hold their agreements, especially with... was a Deathloop. Now that's an exclusive game on PlayStation 5. So they're going to actually keep that exclusive because that's the agreement that's already been made.
Yeah. There's probably contracts and things because of how Deathloop has been highlighted in the PlayStation 5 showcase. That would be a lot of eggs on Sony's face if that game suddenly went and became a Microsoft exclusive. So there's probably legal agreements, which it's probably just easier to go ahead and honor the agreement.
Yeah, so they're going to keep their agreements, and then I believe that the kind of stance has been is they're going to look at it as they go along, but I think that they're actually still considering doing these multi-platform, which makes sense because you have a lot of these Microsoft properties on other systems. I mean, hell, we just had a new Ori game come to the Switch this week, so...
And the Outer Worlds is still multi-platform even after Microsoft bought Obsidian. But I I think there's a lot to say, though, about Microsoft kind of resting on, well, not necessarily resting on, but investing, I think is a better word, investing on the strength, literally, because they just spent billions of dollars to invest, but they're investing on the strength of Game Pass, because sure, Elder Scrolls 6 could go multi-platform. It could show up on the PlayStation 5 where it'll set you back $70, or you just get it with Game Pass for PC and Xbox, which at this point, many gamers. And so I kind of feel like it doesn't matter at that point if it's multi-platform. It's going to be such a stronger deal to pick it up on PC or Xbox that maybe Microsoft doesn't need to. I mean, oh, well, it sells more on PlayStation 5. Great. That's more money for Microsoft, who now owns the studio. So
exactly.
I'm not sure this whole era of console exclusives is what it used to be. I mean, for Sony, it still is. They're going to have God of War and all this stuff. But even things like Horizon Zero Dawn and some of the other strong Sony franchises, you've started to see come to PC. And, you know, there was a lot of gamers that were up in arms about it, even though it was like a year after the fact. But I think it just kind of goes to show that, like, maybe exclusives aren't everything it used to be.
And I don't understand why people are up in arms about that kind of stuff. Like, even like, I don't get it. Like, why would you care if somebody else can play a game? Like, that's such a stupid thing to be mad about.
That Twitter shit, just ignore it. There's so much, like, God, people have a lot of free time. I mean, I understand there's a pandemic going on. A lot of people are still staying at home and all that, which is great. But you just have to filter that garbage out. There's so much garbage on social media that, you know, just pay it no mind. And you know it gets 50 times as bad when it's political stuff. And it's just filter, 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 filter. You let the brain filter
right.
it out.
Yeah, it's just like with all the people saying, well, there's better games on PlayStation 5. And, you know, Xbox sucks. I'm not going to get an Xbox. I'm like, cool. You can do whatever you want. Like, I don't understand why people are, like, mad at other people for their purchasing decisions or decisions on stuff. It's like, who cares? It doesn't matter. It's not impacting you at all. Like, it's just such a silly thing. Like, I don't get it.
Chewy240 in chat says, anyone still doubting Game Pass needs to reexamine their gaming life. Well, let's talk about that. Hello, let's talk about that. Obviously, a big reason why Microsoft has done this is to really buffer up Game Pass. And this buffing up of Game Pass is starting now. Like, now, because we've already had the Xbox Game Pass account tweet out a leak, and I'm using my quotey fingers, a leak that, long story short, Doom Eternal or Doom, one of them, probably both, are on their way to Xbox Game Pass very soon, probably in the coming weeks, certainly before the end of the year. So this investment is already starting to pay off. And that's more than you can say for a lot of Microsoft's other investments. That's not to shade any of those studios. But when you get Bethesda, and as some of you have noted in chat, Bethesda has a history that goes back to the fucking 1980s. Okay. My brain thought I said 1890s. Anyway, it goes all the way back to the 1980s with some of the old games that they did. Let's not forget, Microsoft has a PC Game Pass as well. Wouldn't it be pretty rad if, like, a lot of these old classics suddenly started showing up on PC Game Pass? I'm not saying they're going to, but if Microsoft wanted to go that route, they could. And that's just going to strengthen that as well. And then, of course, on the console front, now you have Doom, Doom and Eternal. Obviously, you're going to have Elder Scrolls 6. And it doesn't matter if the game goes multi-platform because it's going to be part of Game Pass, or you can pay $70 for it if you really want, you know, on PlayStation 5. With Game Pass, Microsoft has now, and I used this analogy on Bobby's show when I was doing the toss over, and I'm going to say it again. It's like all these services and people trying to become the next Game Pass, right? We have Google Stadia. We have a new one from Amazon we're going to talk about in a little bit. We have Nintendo Switch Online. We have PlayStation and now the PlayStation Plus games and all that. Microsoft was already out in front, and now they have just pushed the Nitro button. And you remember that in Ivan Man, Iron Stewart, Super Off-Road? You hit that Nitro button, you go flying out in front. That's what this Bethesda purchase has done. They have Nitro'd their way to the front with this Game Pass, which is where they truly see gaming going, is where movies and TV have gone, which is streaming, which is Netflix. And how long did it take? Because Netflix was so far out front with their investments of creating original programming. So when it came to who's going to get the Stranger Things that really kind of threw them out in first place, and you know all the Netflix originals that have made them who they are, it has taken forever for other companies to catch up and become part of the conversation. Hulu's kind of getting there. CBS All Access is struggling. CBS has been out there. CBS is one of the big three networks, and they're having a hard time catching on with streaming. They're having to rebrand the Paramount Network. They're having to bring in the forces from VH1 and MTV and in order to take on Netflix. The only company that was able to nitro themselves to a level where Netflix is at pretty quickly is Disney Plus. And the analogy here would be, if Nintendo really wanted to, they could create something stronger than Game Pass tomorrow.
Well, don't worry.
They're
running in Nintendo time. So right now, we're talking early 2000s of Nintendo. Don't worry. In 10 years, they'll have something that's similar to Netflix. And then everyone will tout how innovative it is. They're just behind.
Plus will be out in 2030. It's going to be sometime. I mean, props to them if they figure this out early. And I'm sorry, the NES Online and the SNES Online don't count. Y'all know it don't count. It's beans. It's fucking free Pluto TV compared to... Actually, I kind of like Pluto TV. I shouldn't shade it. But compared to Netflix, it's like a non-issue, okay?
Crackle.
It's Crackle. Anyway.
Or is it like my TV where I've got the Roku channel, which is just like the garbage, like old shows. Like, I didn't even realize that this was syndicated.
It's the weather app that just plays the same forecast on loop for your area 24 hours a day. It's that. That actually exists on PlayStation 4, by the way. There's like a weather app. Anyway.
I think like the Roku app, it's like, it's got like reruns of Wings, and that's about it on there. It's just like random stuff.
All right. So my point is, in that whole chat comment I was responding to originally and talking about, let's talk about Game Pass, is that with this, Microsoft has propelled themselves to the front that like everybody else is now going to be struggling to catch up. And you see Sony kind of starting to move pieces in that direction. It is too late.
See Sony moving anything in that direction.
They have a lot of ground to make up. And, Sony's going to kind of hope they can still ride on. And I'm not, please don't mishear me when I talk these critical things about Sony. And this is just the culture we're in now, is that everything is so polarized. And if I'm sitting here being critical of Sony, I must hate them. I don't. I've said it until I'm blue in the face every
and
week on the show.
How critical were we of Microsoft?
Yes.
But, like, not even that
yes.
long ago. I mean,
yeah,
like,
go back
on.
And
like,
listen when
goes...
Doug... Yes, we raked Microsoft over the coals and then some, okay? The thing is, we're rooting for everybody, okay? But the reality is, in this department where we all see gaming is going, Sony has some major catching up to do. And what they showed with the PlayStation Plus with free games isn't quite it. It is movement in the right direction that's coming years too late. So they have a lot of ground to make up. Now, Sony could sign some deals and really make some ground up tomorrow. Sony isn't charging an extra fee. They're bundling it in PlayStation Plus. That is, to be noted. But it just, you can feel how far behind they are now. And if they don't start to make moves, bigger moves to catch up, Microsoft's really going to run away with this.
I mean, honestly, if you want to say, all their free games that they're offering for the PlayStation 5, really just kind of catching up to what Microsoft's been doing, because Microsoft's been putting out 4 games a month mm-hmm. that you get with your monthly subscription, whereas Sony's had 2. So they're already kind of behind with that, plus Games Pass.
Food for thought. Again, something Sony could do tomorrow, barring legal agreements, and I know legal agreements take time. Sony could just merge PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now. I realize they may not be able to carry all the same games, but maybe PlayStation Now would allow them to open up 3, 2, 1 and hundreds of games from PlayStation's past. And Sony could make that happen pretty quickly. Will they?
Yeah,
I don't know.
No.
I don't think. Yeah.
They're never going to do that.
Anyway.
They like their money too much.
Some other comments. Yeah, and Pele Hanumeo says, quite frankly, they'll still outsell Xbox this next gen. That is not incorrect. I actually agree with you. The PlayStation 5 as hardware will outsell Xbox. However, here's the real question to ask. At the end of this generation, who will have more monthly subscribers? PlayStation Plus or Xbox Game Pass?
And hardware doesn't matter anyways, because when you think about it, they're making it's a loss for any hardware sold anyways. And right now people are just speculating based on how quickly pre-sales are. And we don't even know, because we don't know the actual numbers that are being sold. And with these game streaming services, Games Pass is on PC. It's also on mobile devices.
And
PlayStation Now.
I think people fighting the old school console war on Twitter with Sony versus Microsoft and Nintendo's kind of out there doing their own thing, I think they're gauging the wrong battle. I think if you're in Phil Spencer's shoes, the battle you're looking at is what I just mentioned. They want to, at the end of this generation, have way more Xbox Game Pass subscribers than there are PlayStation Plus subscribers or Nintendo Online monthly subscribers. That is the battle Microsoft is going to fight.
The Nintendo Online one, I wouldn't even try to compare with them. Like, it's just like, it's not even the same type of thing. And it's not even the same amount of money that they're making with that.
I know, but I had to include it. Chewy, too, because again, tomorrow Nintendo could change this conversation, right? I know we're all sitting here cynical.
Right.
They're
not
going to. I accept that and I agree with it. But let's also agree with the fact that if they wanted to, tomorrow Nintendo could change this conversation.
No, they can't actually, because they don't have. No, they won't, and they can't. I'm going to go on the record. They can't. They cannot change this conversation in one day. There is no announcement that they can make that would change this conversation.
All right. Let's see. Other comments in chat here. Questbuster says they're pushing the brand as a whole. If the console doesn't beat the PlayStation 5 in sales, it's probably not as important as expanding their ecology on everything else not Sony or Nintendo. And the Breakman says they're trying to expand Xbox as a platform far more reaching than just a console. Chewy240 in chat says, reoccurring revenue cash is king. Correct. What game saved an entire franchise and Square Enix from the brink of doom? Final Fantasy 14. Look it up. That's why that game had to be fixed. And it was fixed, and it was fixed very well. And what does Square Enix now thank for a lot of its revenue when Final Fantasy, you know, some of the other titles weren't necessarily, when Tomb Raider didn't sell as much as they thought it would, which is ridiculous. But you know what? You all saw that headline too, right? But what game did they credit? Mm-hmm. Anyway. Sia Tiberian chat says, I wonder if part of Nintendo being slow to roll some of that stuff out is also because of related licenses. Potentially, but there is such a strong first-party library. Although, most of what you see in the NES and the SNES classics now is Nintendo's first-party library. To be honest, there aren't a lot of first-party games left that aren't already on the service. There may be some tricky licensing things, but for the most part, all the first-party games that you would expect to see are out there.
Don't think the licensing would be that expensive on those games, to be honest. Especially, like, I'm sure they can. I mean, because look at what the Wii was. You remember the Wii?
Well,
you know, and the virtual console, how many games were on there?
And since you brought it up, like, that's kind of where I was going with it, is that, but they still have yet to even tap into Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, Nintendo 64, GameCube, Wii, Wii U. There's all these things they haven't tapped into yet. So, I don't know. Did you see that crazy rumor that at the next Nintendo Direct, they're going to thwack out a Game Boy player? I don't buy it at all.
I wouldn't be surprised, but, like, once again, that's just, like, kind of trickling stuff. It's just, it's giving you enough just to, like, okay, cool, I can justify the money that I'm paying for this online thing. But, like, it's not really doing anything. It's just kind of just the bare minimum. I guess. I don't know.
Should I say something that's going to get me in trouble? All right.
Of course, always.
It's not worth it for Nintendo to put out the Game Boy Player. Those games, don't hold up well at all, save for like Tetris, which wouldn't even be a part of it anyway because there's Tetris 99 and there's agreements with the Tetris company. I'm not saying the Game Boy wasn't important for its time and all that, but a lot of those Game Boy games, y'all, they do not hold up well at all. It would be way smarter for them to go to the Game Boy Advance. Those games hold up a lot better because a lot of them are on the same level with things like Super Nintendo and beyond. So sorry if you don't agree with what I said, but that's like the T as I see it. Those Game Boy games do not hold up well at all. Like, they're not going to be fun to play. You'll play them for like 15 seconds and just be like, oh yeah, I loved this when I was a kid. All right. So anyway, Bobby Black,
they're just going to jump straight to the Virtual Boy.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, Pokemon Red Blue, not worth it, dead game, which is why they remade it twice. And so it's not going to be a part of that collection. Pokemon wouldn't be in there. Because, and it was specifically Red and Blue, they just remade it not that long ago as Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. So they're not going to put those games in there. So anyway. Now Orange Wright says, maybe have them all. Okay, that I could go a little more for. So I'm not saying there's like, oh my gosh, there are zero games I would ever, you know, play. But it's just like, I just think a lot of those games, it's not going to carry the weight that y'all think it would. Anyway, we're getting really distant from the original topic, which was Microsoft acquiring Bethesda. Any other bullet points on that story you wanted to get out, Loki?
No, that was pretty much it. It's just they own Bethesda now. And, you know, now maybe we will get an actual Fallout New Vegas sequel, because now we have Obsidian and we have Bethesda. So technically they can make it happen.
That's what a lot of people are saying. But I that's cool if that happens, but you know, that's kind of one of those like, you know, one phase of enlightenment, but the biggest phase of enlightenment is, why don't they work together on a new game? That would be something really, really cool. Like, have them work together on a new franchise, although it wouldn't happen tomorrow. So, all right. Anyway, I think this is going to be pretty exciting for the future for Microsoft. As far as like Elder Scrolls 6 and that coming to Sony, I don't know. Like, I wanted to be really cynical and come on the show and say it's not going to happen, and they're just talking that way to reduce some of the negativity. But I really do think it's different now, and Microsoft is fighting a different fight. And so they might just go ahead and still release Elder Scrolls 6 on PlayStation. And kind of like I said, it's going to be $70 there or free on Game Pass with your subscription. And that's the battle Microsoft's going to fight. We'll see.
But there's nothing to say that they couldn't do like a timed exclusive.
Oh, they could do a timed exclusive. They could do that there's a whole new expansion or part of it that is only on Microsoft. There's a lot of things they could do with it. Spider-Man is only available in Elder Scrolls 6 on Xbox. That'll show them. Questbuster in chat says, Obsidian might actually be happy doing their own thing now with Outer Worlds and the world they created with Pillars. I'm sure they still have the Fallout universe in their heart, but they've probably moved on. Yeah, that's why I kind of think like they'll probably just move on to something new. But maybe there could be like a remastering or something that would take less resources than a whole new game, but like a remastering of New Vegas or revisiting that somehow. That I
would
say
love for them to remaster Oblivion or New Vegas. That would be cool.
Do you think there's going to be the Skyrim One More Time edition on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X? Will there be a Skyrim one more time? One more for the road. Encore edition.
I could see that, but
I feel like it's got to happen. Like, if they don't put Skyrim on Xbox One X.
They've already done, like, the enhanced edition. I don't know if they're going to necessarily do that again. It would be funny, but, like, I don't know if they would do that. I don't think, unless they could, you know, justify getting the return on it. I mean, they already have like the special edition as it is, and I don't know what, you know, the Xbox Series X will necessarily do with the special edition, like how that will upscale stuff on that. So I mean, that sort of could be like releasing it again. I don't think they will.
Tiger Claw in chat says Skyrim remastered in 4K HDR. Well, you know, it may just end up being one of those things where it's like enhanced backwards compatibility on Xbox Series X. Yeah, and yeah, it already does. And so maybe it's going to have it further enhanced capability on Xbox Series X, and they'll just say to Sony, well, you don't really care about backwards compatibility on PlayStation, so we're not going to enhance it for that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the PlayStation 4, and I want to say the PlayStation...
Oh, yeah, they've already enhanced Skyrim once. Yeah, they've already enhanced it once.
I'm pretty sure it supports 4K and whatnot, HDR.
Probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
The PC version does with mods, for sure.
Engine, though, that, like, it just doesn't look super great. So, like, I would think they had to rebuild the whole thing.
You want to play it one more time? One more time. One more turn. One more turn.
And I've got it on PC and my Xbox 360 and PlayStation 4.
Let's move on with the show and talk about the things we have been playing this week, if it was Skyrim or what, during How Was Your Gaming Week? Again, Dark Sakura not here tonight because of the Jewish holiday, but we will see her again next week and get caught up on everything that she has been playing throughout the week. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I picked up a Breakpoint that we talked about last week, that game that looks kind of like Geometry Wars.
That came out. I need to pick that up too. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. It's very hard. It's kind of, you have to keep on your toes because your weapons keep breaking as you're fighting through there. So you have like all these different melee weapons that you get, and of course it's very similar gameplay, and the aesthetic is very similar to Geometry Wars, but pretty fun. So I did play that a little bit. I played a little bit of Hotshot Racing again, so that was pretty cool. I'm really enjoying that game. I actually went back and played some more Minecraft, and a little frustrated with Microsoft right now because I have a realm that I pay for, and so I prepaid for that, and then they wanted me to pay again for my realm. So it ended up charging me like three times for my realm subscription. So obviously the Windows Store has some issues when it comes to that. So I have to get a refund for those or something. It's like $7.
That's annoying.
Still annoying. Yeah. And then I played a little bit of, actually quite a bit of Orna this week. So I've been doing that. I finally leveled up to 181. I'm still kind of way behind because I don't play it very often anymore. And then I checked out Pokemon Go a little bit and played very little of that. That's pretty much it, I think.
I've been slacking on the Orna front myself, and I really gotta, like, all these randos started joining our thing, and I think it's because I think we've been leveling up, because as a I want to say free company, that's not what it is, it's a guild or whatever it is in that game. I think we've been leveling up. I think we're showing up now in like those first two pages of like open kingdoms, because we've been leveling up so much, and that's why we're getting all these randos that are joining us.
I just thought it was a lot of people that I didn't know. I'm like, who are all these
people? It's randos, so I don't know what to do about all that. As long as they're nice, like, whatever, I guess. It's the most important thing. Just don't be a dick, and, you know, we'll have fun getting to know new people. But yeah, I've been slacking off on Orna. I probably have been playing more Ingress than any of the other location-based games this week, just because with all the quarantine and everything, and especially like the heat and the smoke here in California the past couple weeks, I have not been going outside as much, and the COVID-19 pounds is really starting to show. So I'm trying to get walking and doing that stuff more. So Ingress is a good motivator for that. I did a mission banner yesterday at a giant park in the south area of Sacramento, and it probably took me like 2 hours of solid walking. I'd stopped and did the portal scanning here and there too, but you know, that was a lot of exercise. So I'm just trying to do that, you know, let that game motivate the exercise, because that's when it's its best, really. As far as other games I've been playing, Final Fantasy 14, because I'm always playing that. Still working on my crafters and my paladin, leveling that up. But then I've also been spending a little bit of time, quite a bit of time actually, on two other games. I've been playing a lot of No Man's Sky, again, thanks to the recent 3.0 patch, which we're going to talk about later in the show, so I'll save most of my thoughts for then. But because of that patch, I was like, you know what? What the hell? Let's do it again. Let's start a universe from scratch and see what happens. And I was just really happy with the universe I rolled into and on the planet where I established my base and stuff. I am now like further along, and I'm now into 10 plus hours, which is probably more than I've spent on any other playthrough in that game so far. And I am really, really loving that game right now. I'm going to talk a little more later in the show about the patch and some of the things that it changed and some of the old games that I revisited to check out some changes. So I'll show you that later in the show. Let's see. Other games I've been playing. One other game I've been playing a lot of this week, Hades. So I bought that on Steam a couple weeks ago. And this week I said, what the hell? And I double dipped and I bought it on Switch as well. And I've spent several hours on that game. That is fun. Like, it's, you know, for the roguelikes and for what it is, it has a very kind of like Diablo-esque feel to it, but it isn't Diablo. Like, it isn't that kind of game at all. It's kind of more like a roguelike. It just kind of, I don't know, plays a little bit like Diablo, but it is very satisfying going through all those different dungeons. And the way they've kind of told the story and have all the different characters that they do in a game like that is pretty neat. And the voice acting is very well done. So yeah, I've been really enjoying Hades. It's weird to have to fight that first boss over and over and over again as you kind of keep getting further and further, but you do feel yourself progressing, and that fight feels like it gets easier and easier. And then you kind of learn how to do it with other weapons and stuff. So yeah, I'm loving Hades. It's a really good game. Probably one of the best games of the year, honestly. Sia Tiberian chat says, another streamer I follow on here is thirsty for every character in Hades. Don't blame him. The character design is really well done. You really only see like the one picture of most of them. Well, they have different poses and things like that. So it's interesting because they don't like move and are fully animated like you see in a lot of games today, but it works. I'm not saying you have to have that. I just said the game is one of the best of the year. It's just interesting how, you know, it is limited, but it still manages to tell the story and contribute to a great game experience the way that it does. Questbuster says, I'm really tempted to get Hades. ActDev says, I kind of want to try Hades too. I'm going to endorse it. I will try to do a stream of it later on, or maybe like a recorded YouTube or something. I have another idea stewing in my head for more video on demand stuff. But I will try to do some more narrated gameplay of that and why I'm into that game a little later on. So, but I am super into Hades. Good game. So that was pretty much my gaming week. Some quick housekeeping. There may not be a show in 2 weeks. I will confirm next week. It's very possible I'm going to be going on a little trip. And yes, I realize everything that's going on in the world and all of those precautions and things are going into my, it's not flying, it's driving, are going into that. But I may not be back in time for a show in 2 weeks. Considering I haven't gone anywhere in about 6 months, I'm going to take a night off. But I will confirm that next week because I may actually be back in time. Still working out some of the details. So, yeah, that's that. Also, over at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, just a couple weeks ago, we launched the VOG Roundtables, where we get some different people together to discuss a current topic going on in geek culture. And this week, this was a good one because it wasn't gaming. I want to make sure we're doing some, like, obviously, I'm going to make a lot of gaming content because it's my wheelhouse, but once in a while, I'm going to challenge myself to do something outside of that, too. So this week, we did a panel on cosplay in the COVID era, and we kind of talked about how cosplayers are passing the time when there's really no in-person conventions right now, and there's some pretty neat ideas. Like, we heard about, we had Arya Snark, or Victoria, formerly of Shaking and Crying, here at the Voice Geeks Network, was a part of the panel, and she talked about how she was doing, like, a virtual Disneyland birthday party dressed up in cosplay. So this is a really neat story. So check that out. The VOG Roundtable over at VOGNetwork.com. Big ups to Anime Jam Session, who showed up and participated with that as well. Ranma and Ichigo, who is a frequent guest on that show. So, all right. Let's move on, though, to talking about the news. So, Loki, what's going on in the news?
Yes. So Amazon had their big kind of event that they talked about all the different things coming out from Amazon. I think it's like the Amazon Fire stuff. And one of the things that they talked about is a brand new service called Luna. It is a paid game streaming service that allows subscribers to play PC games remotely on computers, phones, tablets, and Fire TVs, I believe. So they're charging $5.99 a month, and you get a curated library of PC games called, I guess, the Luna Plus Game Channel, and you can check out quite a few different games on there. So some of the stuff that I noticed off, you know, top of my head here looking at this, they got some pretty decent stuff on there. You know, there's Luminous on there, Control, Grid, then more indie titles, like they have Two Point Hospital, Overcooked 2, Rhyme, Ubisoft's in there as well, Res Infinite's in there, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So they've got, you know, some bigger titles and a mix of kind of smaller titles in there as well. But yeah, and then you can also purchase a controller, which kind of looks like a Nintendo Switch Pro controller, but with purple, which I kind of like the way that looks. And yeah, plus there's, since, you know, they do own Twitch, there is integrated Twitch functionality as well. So you can actually stream directly from that to Twitch, which is kind of cool.
Do you know that comic where it's got the two characters and the one like has like a neat painting or something, and the character goes, "You made this," and then takes the painting, and the last frame is like, "I made this," you know, that whole thing where it's like they stole thing. Yeah, that is what Amazon just did to Google Stadia, in my opinion.
Pretty much. I mean, the difference, though, with this and Stadia, obviously, is this is similar to like a Games Pass or PlayStation Now service, where Stadia is even less of a less attractive because
And that's exactly why I'm like, Amazon just kind of like just snatched it from Google. And I just like, especially when it comes to like the Twitch integration. Oh, it's all those things that YouTube should probably already be at when it comes to Stadia. And
well, yeah, they apparently have
that
with
Stadia. Isn't Stadia still not out of beta? Don't we still not have open Stadia?
There's a lot of services like, out of beta.
That was supposed to happen the first quarter of this year. What the hell happened? Well, COVID. Besides COVID. Okay, but it's been, we're talking about online
Wouldn't it be more beta testing, though?
What's that?
Additional beta? Is it,
I guess.
Wouldn't us being in COVID and, you know, using a lot more online services be additional beta testing?
Yeah,
wouldn't
right?
it be? But I guess developers and everything. But yeah, honestly, I like the way the controller looks. I like purple. I mean, maybe I just need to get a purple controller.
Yes,
I mean,
we here at the Voice Geeks Network love purple.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. It's all right. But, like, I'm not going to probably buy it. it's a neat idea. I'm curious to see how that works out. Hey, maybe they'll throw it into, you know, Prime or something like that.
That would be great. Yeah,
and then you get
cool.
that as well. But I don't know. We'll see.
You know, it's interesting because we just had this discussion last week and we had the roundtable and everything about the mid-roll ads on Twitch and Twitch maybe not, you know, making enough money right now and they're having to look at other ways to make money. Well, I would think this might be one of the ways where Twitch can help the Amazon machine make money. That, you know, not saying that, you know, it's maybe going to be enough to keep Twitch running, but it is something that is going to add value to the company, you know, the ability to, I would assume, one day just jump right into these games that streamers are playing. And I see that happen a lot. One game that Alan has been playing a ton of lately is Dead by Daylight. He's been playing that game a lot. He gets super into one game at a time, and that's the game right now. But what I see him doing, He has streamer friends. He has, you know, two or three regular, he probably has more than that, but two or three that I regularly see streamer friends, and they'll be online and playing. And when he sees them online and playing and there's a spot, he'll just jump in and join and play the game with them. And so that whole process I just explained is probably going to be very, very easy with something like Luna. You know, if you see your streamer friend playing the game, just click here to join in. If the streamer wants that and their privacy settings,
I mean,
are set
yeah,
that way.
Assuming that's how they set it up, which would be very similar to like Stadia, but I just don't see a lot of people using that. Like, it seems like a cool idea, but like, I don't think there's a lot of people playing Stadia. And honestly, like the folks that are streaming to YouTube or even Twitch, I don't think that they're using these services. I mean, I don't know.
Well, one reason you can't really stream Stadia right now. Anytime I've shown Stadia here on OLR, I pre-recorded it and then I showed it here. You can't really stream Stadia because you can't have the bandwidth to send that all up. Well, maybe you do, depending on your internet. But right now, people don't have the capability.
It's all remote,
right? But if Luna is integrated with Amazon and it's all tied together, then hypothetically, you can kind of hit a button to stream your gameplay and it's going to stream from the web services side. And it would require...
That's how Stadia works as well. It's just Stadia sucks. So, you know, I mean, but that's how it works as well. It streams from Google's cloud services or whatever.
To YouTube?
So, yeah, to YouTube.
Oh.
That's because that's how it does, like, for example, if your PC or whatever you're streaming on can't handle 4K or something like that, so you're playing in 1080p or something, when you stream it to YouTube, it's actually in 4K.
The fact that I, a streamer, don't even know about that whole stuff. Like, I thought I read that was going to be a thing. I didn't realize that it was already baked in.
I mean, maybe
it says a lot about
yet,
Stadia. Yeah, well, okay. So
once again, don't care because it's Stadia, and I'm not buying games on that service, and I'm not using it, and... So I don't care. Sorry.
I think depending on the game, especially when it comes to MMOs and things that are specifically multiplayer, I think there will be a place for jumping right in with your favorite streamer, just like Alan does already with something like Dead by Daylight. Unfortunately, a game like Control, a game like Luminous, a game like Res Infinite, those are all fantastic games, but they're not games you're going to jump in and play with your favorite streamer. It's going to take the right game. Something like, you know the game Luna needs tomorrow? Among Us. Hello? That's like a 10-person game, and that would be a great one that you could just... How often do I see that being played on a Twitch where then one person has to go, and it's like they have a hole in the game, so they have to change the rules, or they have to have a rando, which gets weird. Hello, that's the game that you would be able to jump in and easily play with your friends. Or something like 100 versus 1, a Fortnite, a Tetris 99. What's that?
It's like free on on mobile.
Yeah, it uses ads.
It's like $5, you know. So just pay the $5. I mean, it's I don't know.
But that integration would still go a long way. I'm just saying.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, so are you interested in more about Luna or probably not really?
No. Funny enough, like, you know, even though I'm kind of wary about like having, you know, Amazon have access to cameras in my house, that camera thing that they've got on the drone camera that they have is kind of cool. Yeah. But like, aside from that, like, I don't know. I do like the drone camera. That's kind of neat. But,
well, we have that. What is it? Ring or whatever. We have Amazon's camera thing in our house. And
right.
Whatever.
No, that's what it is. It's a Ring camera, but it's a drone. So it flies around your house and it like films stuff. So that's kind of cool.
Someone wants to
fly around my house.
Someone at Amazon HQ wants to watch me walk from the bedroom to the shower. I hope they enjoy what they see. Honestly, like, it's just whatever. I don't care. The camera's not pointed that way anyway. For me, the Amazon Luna streaming, it's a great example of what I just said about now Microsoft is way far out in front of the competition. I kind of look at this and I go, oh, this is cool. But I have Game Pass already now, and there's like, I don't really see, like, there's some nice games here. The ones I would want to play, I pretty much all already own already though. So, this is cool. You know, this would have been a lot better 2 years ago. So
yeah, and
this is a perfect example of when I say Microsoft is way far out in front and the other people are going to take too long to catch. Like, this is a great example of that. Luna's getting out the door about 2 years too late.
Yeah, and I would say, though, that probably this is already a step up from Google Stadia, just from their initial offering. It just sounds better anyways. There's more games. Don't have to pay for each additional game. I get it that Google Stadia has that library that's available, but, I mean, that's not the same thing. That's like calling what PlayStation Plus has the same thing as Game Pass. It's not the same thing.
Right.
So I think it's already a little bit better, but still that's like, it's not all that attractive. That's like saying, you know, this, to go back to the analogy that we were using earlier, Google Stadia is Crackle Although I don't think you have pay for Crackle, but let's just say that it did. Okay, so Google Stadia, or maybe it's like Vudu. Okay, so it's not necessarily it's Vudu to Amazon's Quibi, but it's not going to compete with Hulu or Netflix.
Now that's just mean to call it Quibi. Come on, that's mean. Don't do that.
Okay, I mean, it's not Quibi, but it's not as good as obviously the other stuff. But you never know; it could get better. I mean, and it already has like the opportunity to do that. I'd like to see what they're going to do with it. And whatever happened to all these games that Amazon is supposed to be putting out? Like, don't they have some games that they're working on? Like, I thought there was some Amazon Game Studios or something that.
Yeah, that the RPG. I keep seeing some people playing it on Twitch. I don't know if it's still like
right. Is it the one that's like a Fortnite, but like it's like a battle royale?
No,
RPG?
Spellbreak. That's not an Amazon thing.
Okay, that's not okay.
No. New World. That's it. Thank you, Questbuster.
Oh.
A preview events is what it is. New World.
Got it.
All right. Moving on. Let's talk about No Man's Sky. So No Man's Sky is a game that I've been playing an awful lot of this week. And pretty much the catalyst for me jumping on it again was the 3.0 update. So there was a big 3.0 update called Origins. And what did Origins do? So the Origins update added billions of new planets, apparently. They also changed the diversity of flora and fauna, also changing different weather systems and making more dramatic terrain types. So basically, they're saying in a short, it changes pretty much everything. And as far as like the look of the game and what you encounter on the planets, it definitely does change a lot of things. In this playthrough that I have, so I started over, and honestly, if you've spent like less than 10 hours on your save file, just start over. Like, there's so much in the tutorial. There's so much that it walks you through and so forth that you are going to have a lot to discover and see and do. And you're not going to feel like you're retreading the same path because you're going to be on new worlds and things like that. And now everything looks a little bit different. So I would say just start over. Especially those of you guys that like bought No Man's Sky back when it first launched and haven't touched it since, this is probably a pretty good time to jump in and check that stuff out. So I've been really enjoying my time with the game. I've gotten further in the even though the story branches in multiple paths, so there isn't like really a story, but I feel like I'm farther in a couple of those paths than I was ever in any of my previous playthroughs, of which I've rebooted No Man's Sky like 5 times now.
I haven't played in a long time, and I was actually thinking about, you know, booting it up on PC, which I haven't played at all because I purchased that when it was on sale one time, and I'm like, oh, I should really go back and play that because I haven't played it since.
Yeah, but like the
1.0.
The plan, and Bobby Blackwell says, did you start over on PC or PS4? I started over on PS4. However, if you aren't already aware, No Man's Sky put in crossplay like 2 patches ago. So you will see a little icon now next to usernames that show you what says. I don't know how they handled the world naming. Like if 2 people were in, I don't know how they did that. That didn't affect anything because I've been starting new games and such.
Yeah,
so
have they reset all that?
I don't think they did. In fact, I know they didn't. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But you have now, if you have a friend code, basically, which I know is dumb, but it's how they get away with it. So basically what you do, if you add somebody by their No Man's Sky friend code, then it doesn't matter what platform they're on, and you will see them on your No Man's Sky friend list, and you can interact with them and so forth. So PC, PS4, Xbox, and it's on Game Pass, it doesn't matter anymore. So that's the really good news about that. Yeah, and Questbuster says players have icons that can tell you if they're PC or PS4 players. Yeah, it has a little keyboard and mouse for PC, and then Xbox has like an Xbox-shaped controller, and PS4 has PS4. So, yeah. Now, the base where I've established on is now I've called the planet MSEP for Main Street Electrical Parade because it's one of those planets where like the flora and fauna glow at night, and it looks very neon. It looks like Darnassus and WoW, except more red than purple. It's really pretty, like the way it glows. And I set up my base there, and I really, really like it. Sorry, I should have got some video of it, but maybe I'll do a stream at some point or something, but it's really pretty. So I'm like really into this base. I've actually built a place to land my ship so you can take off and not have the fuel cost and all that stuff, which is pretty cool. Bobby Blackwolf says, do they have cross save? Like, can I play on a PS4 and just move to a PC with the same game? I'm not sure, but I'm leaning towards no, just because I haven't seen it. but I would Google it or something before I definitively answer that question. Because again, they've been changing a lot with the game. Now, here's the downside to this patch. And for people that have been playing the game a long time, some people may have built their base on a really pretty planet before, and that planet may have changed. I didn't realize this was part of it. When they talk about all the flora and fauna and all this stuff, they changed old planets to put in all this new stuff. Now, they didn't go so far as to, if you were on a non-environmental hazard planet before, suddenly you're on a toxic nightmare planet. They didn't do that, but they definitely changed planets. And so some people had their bases on these really like perfect planets. And this update, oh, great, a volcano is now next to their base, you know? And yes, there is now a weather circumstance where it can rain fire. And I actually saw this on a planet where it was literally
rain fire. Did they call that circumstance 2020?
It was. They probably should have. Anyway, to put this together and show you what I mean, I actually have a little video I'd like to show you here. So, those of you that have been following VOG for a while and maybe watched some personal streaming that myself and Bobby Blackwolf do, a couple years ago during the 2.0 upgrade, and yeah, it was like a couple years ago, we started building our bases on a planet called Blissey. We called it Blissey because it was a peaceful planet. It looked very earthy. It looked very serene and peaceful. I couldn't find any footage of this planet on my Twitch, in my clips, but I did find some on Bobby Blackwolf's channel. So here, without permission, is some footage from Bobby Blackwolf's Twitch. So this is Blissey. Now, it's at night, but you can see, and I'll narrate over this a little bit for the podcast listeners, you can see it's very green, it's very beach, it's very, you know, and you see Bobby running from my base to his base. He's kind of jetpacking. There's the occasional little animal there. And, you know, you can see like there was like one mountain in the distance and so forth, right? So this is the planet Blissey. And, you know, Bobby's got his base set up and all that fun stuff. Here is what Blissey looks like now. So I booted up my old save file on my PlayStation 5, or my PlayStation 5, I wish, my PlayStation 4 earlier today. Look at that. It's all pink now. There's this pink fauna. Well, for one, I spawned right on top of a toxic plant, which is kind of annoying. So there's that now to deal with. But I kind of laughed when I saw it was all pink with the fauna and stuff on the ground because, excuse me, the flora. Fauna would be the animals. We'll get to that in a minute. The flora is all pink. And it made me laugh because Blissey is a pink Pokemon. So that kind of cracked me up. I was checking here in the interface. This is just recorded live gameplay. I was checking in the interface because I was like, why don't you'll notice in the lower left, I don't see the actual planet. We renamed it to Blissey, but I was seeing the old name. And check out that gigantic monolith we just saw in the video was not there before. So that was something that was added there. Yeah, so even though the name in the corner says like Itome something something, it's actually the planet Blissey, and you could see that in the online services. I think that probably just has something to do with some of the changes and so forth. Now what we're seeing in the footage, there are all of these animals everywhere. Whereas in the old footage, you would see the occasional one animal. There's like all these little turtle looking things everywhere now and so forth. And now here's where I'm doing that exact same run to Bobby's base that he was doing in the old footage. And you can see just how different the ground looks with the varied kind of like pink fauna. Animals everywhere now that weren't in the old one and so forth. So I'm scanning some of these animals. But as I am doing some scanning, so a lot of this is like, cool, great, awesome, looks great. Let me show you the punchline. Look carefully on the left-hand side of the screen while I start to scan some of these things where it talks about what is going on with the planet. Look at the left side of the screen. And for the podcast listeners, I'm going to read it. It says, lethal humidity outbreaks. Hold up.
So you're in Florida?
Hold up. The planet Blissey, our peaceful, nice, quiet planet where we established our VOG bases, and here's me running to Bobby's base, and it's going to show the message and so forth. The lovely planet, serene, quiet Blissey, has lethal humidity outbreaks. I don't even know what that is to begin with. It sounds very 2020, as some folks are saying in chat. But yeah, so anyway, that just kind of cracked me up there as we were doing that. So anyway, there it is. a look back at, or a look forward as well as a look back at No Man's Sky. So anyway, I do recommend the patch and checking out No Man's Sky. It's pretty cool. So, all right, let's go ahead and move on with some more stories. Loki, what do you have for us up next?
All right. So Among Us is obviously very popular as of late. And as such, the developers behind the game announced that Among Us 2, which was originally announced almost 40 days ago, has now been canceled. They have canceled it because they are working on continuing to support the original game and the content for that because it's so popular. So it makes sense. You don't want to just, like, you know, separate the crowd they're playing Among Us among two different games. Then you have to support two different games. It's just easier to put the content into the original one, which, yeah, I'm fine with that. So pretty cool.
Yep, yep. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I feel for the devs because the original game's code base sounds unwieldy to add to, like Minecraft's was, and they wanted to start over with all the lessons they learned. Yeah, so it's an interesting kind of side effect of the game becoming so popular. It's almost like, oh, crap, now we're stuck with this now. I mean, I get they could have just done a part two, but maybe they're worried. Like, and I get it. Like, a part two, there's a lot of risks that come with that, you know?
Yeah, they could. I could see them doing something similar to, like, well, probably a bad example, but what Ingress did, where they just, you know, redid the scanner, completely redesigned it from the ground up. They could do that with this game. So number two is technically number one. It's just like 2.0 or something like that.
Oh,
they just replaced the whole thing.
We were just talking about a game that did something like that, actually. So I guess that'll make a lot of sense, right?
Right, exactly. So I could see him doing something like that, but no, at least as long as they're still continuing to support it, I think it's still pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. All right. Well, let's move on talking about other updates. Let's talk about Animal Crossing, which is going to be getting a pretty large fall update. So there's going to be some Halloween events coming to Animal Crossing. Of course, there has to be Halloween events, right? Because all the games have had them.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know this about Animal Crossing, you can't just data mine it off the disc, the cartridge, whatever, the files now, because they didn't even put in the holiday events. Because they didn't want people, or they probably weren't done yet, but they didn't want people spoiling them either. So now they're going to be patching in the Halloween event since Halloween's coming up. And there's Jack the Lantern is going to be somebody that visits. He'll have Halloween goodies. And there'll be a Halloween event and game with candy that you buy and you give it to residents. There are also going to be pumpkins in the game, and it's going to be part of crafting. So no word if I'll get my pumpkin spice latte. But I imagine there'll be things like pumpkin chairs, pumpkin couches, pumpkin beds, which sounds fun, I guess. It is all launching this coming week. September 30th is when the new update is coming. Nintendo put out a video to their social media channels that shows everything to look forward to. There's going to be another patch that will introduce the holiday events coming in November. And I imagine they're not going to want to patch it in late December because of the holidays. Even if the holidays are a little different in Japan than they are here, it's just still, it's not a good time to be doing those patches. So November is probably when we're going to start to see that stuff pasted or patched into the game. So on that note, I haven't touched Animal Crossing in a couple weeks now. I think it finally wore off for me. That big stream we did a couple weeks ago was probably like the last hurrah. I've played a couple times since then, but I got frustrated with the fact that I was not getting any more photos from villagers. I was visiting every single day, trading stuff, and just I was not getting pictures. And I was like, you know what? There's nothing else for me to do in this game right now. I'm going to go play Hades instead. But,
yeah, my wife's been playing that to get photos now. So she's been doing that and remodeling some of the island stuff.
Mm. Maybe the I would be lying if I said, oh, I'm not going to check it out anymore. And because I'm certainly not anti-Animal Crossing or anything. It's just I think I just kind of wore the game out. But I think it's nice that this is coming because this will give me a reason to boot it up again and probably check it out a little bit. I'll probably try to craft some of the pumpkin furniture and see what that's all about. Because, you know, everybody knows I love my pumpkin spice and stuff like that. So I'll see what kind of fun things I can craft to fit that theme. But then I'll probably get my time taken over with other games again. It tends to happen. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I haven't booted Animal Crossing since early July. I'm going to boot it up and find that my village is all flowers everywhere. My understanding is that the towns don't become overrun with weeds anymore. Like, you'll get a day or two worth of weeds, but you're not going to have to clean up like a month worth of weeds or flour, because the game, if you're not there, it doesn't rain. It's kind of the logic that the game follows. So if you booted it up tonight, you'd probably find that, yeah, you have a couple days worth of damage, but it's not nearly as bad as you would think. And in some of the other games, having been gone for a few months. And villagers will read you a little bit for not having checked in for a while, but then they'll just go on like nothing's ever happened. Like, oh, you just took a little vacation, whatever. Yeah, Black Compat says, I haven't booted it since Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, so there's a lot of people that haven't checked in a while.
Yeah, they should have it if you're gone for a long time that Rossetti just shouts at you for a while.
Yeah, that would be fun. Sia Tiberi in chat says, I still log in at least once a day. So it's just different for everybody. And Bobby says, I did hear that villagers don't move out while you're gone. They used to in other games. That is also true, because remember, villagers always ask for your permission to leave now. That is different from the other games. They used to just, like, leave. Like, you'd turn on the game one day. Oh, bye, I left. I moved over. I packed my shit and left last night. And they don't do that anymore. Which, considering that the game is played by a lot of kids, is probably a good thing. Because you know there would be kids that would be gutted if a particular villager left their town overnight. Because that's what happened to all of us in the GameCube version. So, yeah, that doesn't really
back
happen.
Then, they didn't care about our feelings at all.
Yeah, back then, game companies didn't care about you. So, anyway, No One Special, 77 in chat, says, people probably have checked in on their Neopets in decades. They're probably all decomposed by now, digital dust. No, if you log into Neopets, if you can remember your login and password, they're all still there, I believe. They've probably changed a little bit, but no, your Neopets do not die if you haven't fed them in 20 years. It's magic.
And what's the point then?
All right, let's move on with more news. Loki.
So this is kind of disappointing to hear from a first-party company, but apparently Sony has confirmed that there is no free PlayStation 5 upgrade for the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man. That's not to say that it's not incredibly confusing. So let me try to explain it a little bit, the way this works. So if you purchase the original Spider-Man game on PlayStation 4... well, you're not going to get an upgrade to the PlayStation 5 without rebuying the Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales, which the ultimate edition on that is, I believe, I don't remember they're calling it now, cross-play or cross-buy or whatever. So basically, you get a PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 version from that, and they throw in the original game as a bonus. So they're making the original remaster, but they're not going to give it to you if you've already paid them money, allegedly. And then apparently, though, there's also a $20 paid upgrade that you can bump up the Miles Morales Ultimate Edition. I'm sorry. So you can buy Miles Morales version of the game, and it's just that. Or you can buy the Ultimate Edition, which also throws in the original game as well. It's confusing. But this kind of just goes to show you how Sony is taking this next generation of consoles. So they are basically making you pay for every little bit of upgrade and whatnot for these games, much like some of these third party companies are. Like Activision is wanting, you know, $70 for their games as well. Sony is also charging $70 for their games because they want the money from that. This is why I am very skeptical on the fact that we will never see a service like Games Pass, I think. I mean, I guess they have PlayStation now, but it's not the same where you can download the game, run it natively on the system. Sure, there'll be PlayStation 2 games, and the fact that I think there's more PlayStation 2 games coming out this week, but they're going to sell them to you. They're not going to give them to you as part of this service or all-inclusive thing. They're going to piecemeal it all out to make as much money as they can off of it. Whereas you have, you know, Nintendo also doing kind of a similar approach where they don't want to put many titles in their online catalogs because they're worried that it devalues their titles. That's why they never drop the price on their titles.
Well, and there's also the answer as to why you never got like a Nintendo 64 Mini, is because with the Nintendo 64 Mini, you would now have Mario 64 included, and that's something that they want you to get in the Mario 3D All-Stars.
I think it's also because they couldn't redo the hardware that they had, because the SNES Mini and the Nintendo Mini, the NES Mini, I guess, both ran on identical hardware, and so they could essentially just repurpose that. They can't do that for Nintendo 64. It barely works. You can put Nintendo 64 games on those consoles if you mod them, but it doesn't run well. They would have to develop new hardware for that, and so there's a cost associated with that. Plus, the system would have to be more expensive, and it's whether they're going to make their money back on it. And so it's just not cost effective for them to do that when they could just put out, you know, this collection of emulated games and sell it for $60.
Yeah. I don't think this is the right call for Sony. You know, I understand games cost money to make. They've got to pay the people to develop them. I would have been a little more comfortable maybe with a paid upgrade that isn't quite the full cost of the game. But I think this decision might bite them a little bit, because I can tell you, for me personally, I never did get Spider-Man for PlayStation 4. I probably would have when it went on a big sale later on. But I can tell you, I'm not going to now. Now that I know it's not going to upgrade to the PlayStation 5 version, well, I'm just going to hold off till I get a PlayStation 5. Then I'll revisit Spider-Man at that point. Wrong call, in my opinion. And what again, it's something that the competition, Microsoft, is approaching a bit differently. And you hate to see it.
It is a little frustrating. I get it that not everything is free. You know, there does it. Some of the stuff does cost money. My take on it, though, is that the additional assets that they're creating for Miles Morales, I mean, they're creating a PlayStation 5 version, so they have to create the assets whether or not they're going to be using it for this original game or not. They're already being created. They're already selling you that game anyways. Like, I don't understand, if they already have this version of the game available, like, how much money are you really losing on that? I mean, it's just weird, though, that they wouldn't do that. I guess that their point is that, well, if you really want it remastered, then you'll want to purchase this additional thing. But they're just trying to get another sale out of you.
Or,
whereas Microsoft, I think, would just, you know, a lot of these are free upgrades.
How about this? You know, because this would go back to the point I made earlier about, I think that, you know, no, Microsoft will not sell as many Xboxes this generation as Sony sells PlayStation 5. That's a given, especially when you factor in Japan. However, that's not the fight Microsoft's fighting. Again, it's about who has more subscribers to their service at the end of this generation. And so my point is, what if Sony made it free for PlayStation Plus to get those upgrades? And now that would be an added benefit about PlayStation Plus. That could be interesting, and I could go for that.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that because PlayStation.
Well, of course
Plus
they're not. But I'm trying to.
For online play, and so it's not an upsell.
Give an answer that still gives Sony some money. I'm trying to go to a reasonable answer that still allows Sony to get some money.
They want all of the money. It's why they won't give up Spider-Man for the MCU and stuff, because they want that money. And on, I mean, it just it's. I don't know if people are going to remember it even beyond like this, if they continue to do this, go down this path with this generation. But like, what little money you're losing from this, you could build so much goodwill from it, but they just don't care. And it's, I don't know. They want all of the pennies. So
we'll see how that strategy pays off. But, you know, again, I think when it comes to places like Japan, it's not going to matter. You know, and Spider-Man doesn't exist anywhere besides PlayStation, so they kind of get to call the shots. Not a lot we can do about it besides not buy it. So,
yeah.
All right. Moving on. I want to talk a little bit about iOS and Microsoft getting an app on iOS, but it's not quite the one you're thinking of. It is not the whole cloud issue being resolved. But I'm going to come back to that point in just a moment. We'll come back to that. For now, though, an Xbox Remote Play app is coming to iOS. So, yes, this feature is being tested right now, and apparently it will allow you to connect directly to your Xbox One, or, of course, the upcoming consoles like Series X, S, etc., and it will let you play anything that's on your system. So it's kind of interesting that the cloud thing doesn't work, but this does. But since you're connecting to your own system, and it's, I guess there's just a difference there. And it's all kind of like streaming within your own house or what have you. So, you will be able to use this app to do that. Again, this is different from xCloud. You are streaming from your own box. So I don't think that means you could do that out off cellular. Maybe you can. Could you play off cellular to your own Xbox One? That'd be a bandwidth hog.
Probably a lot of the networks out there, but when we finally get better 5G coverage and there's bandwidth out there.
Which, if rumors are to be believed, is going to be in iOS later this year, is 5G.
Well, they can have whatever they want in iOS, but it's whether the networks are actually out there that's going to matter, right?
Yeah.
So could they support it? Great. But like that doesn't actually build the networks. So I don't know. I don't know if the bandwidth's out there for that. It would be a cool way to get around the whole iOS problem, you know, with just stream Game Pass to your console and then stream that to your... I mean, there's more latency built up there, but maybe it's not so bad.
Well, since you brought up getting around the iOS store, something we didn't talk about in the Luna thing, which I think now is a good time to bring it up since we're talking about, you know, Microsoft kind of finding a way into the App Store. Luna has figured out how to get an iOS app. And basically what they're doing something. This has been around in iOS for a long time, but very few people actually make use of it. And that is a web app. Basically, all you're doing, you're making a website bookmark. And it launches like it's an app, because that's what it is. It's a website bookmark that is just an app on your phone. And so Luna has figured out how to run in a Safari browser window at full speed. Maybe this is something where Microsoft isn't at yet. But what's very interesting, too, if you look in some of the Microsoft legal filings and things like that, in the Apple legal filings, and so that in the Apple versus Epic thing, good Lord. Apple has even said if they went down this route of having web apps, this would not be an issue. This is a solution for them. It's just something they're not doing. Because I believe the backloading of Fortnite on Android devices to go around the store was a similar thing. I think you were loading it from like a web app type of thing. And it wasn't quite as well adopted as it was coming from the store. So
that one was downloading an APK. On the iOS side, I'm not sure. On the Android side, it was downloading a side loading APK to load it in. But that obviously you get a whole bunch of pop-ups saying, oh, this is not secure.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
You can get viruses.
Kids beware. Yeah, I get that. So it's interesting, but Luna somehow is going to be, because I can't think of a lot of things I've actually saved as web apps. I remember an early conversation, maybe Bobby remembers this too, where we were talking about like having like Vogue, or maybe it was even the old network at one point, having like a web app that would launch and you could have I think the old network's radio player trying to encourage people to install that as a web app. And it's kind of hard to get that adoption. So I kind of wonder how Luna thinks it's going to get adopted. Maybe because this is a much bigger deal. This is not some indie podcast network's little remote player. This is how to play Control and Luminous and Res Infinite. And it's an Amazon product. And it'll be advertised on Twitch and all this stuff. Maybe they figure they're going to get a better adoption rate for it, for the whole concept of a web app. I don't know. But anyway, Microsoft could ultimately go down the same route if they can get xCloud working in a Safari window, which we'll see. You know, and I don't just mean working. I mean working well, you know, because, you know, if it stutters, if it lags, that's all going to look bad on Microsoft. It's not going to look bad on Apple. It's going to look bad on Microsoft. So be interesting to see if they figure out a way to resolve that. By the way, there's another app from Microsoft and Xbox coming to iOS. So there's lots of apps for Xbox on iOS. It's just not, you know, the one everybody's talking about. In fact, I think most of our audience will probably not care about this, but some of you will. It's the Xbox Family Sharing app. You know, Nintendo kind of has something like this too, and they have a cute little animation for this. And this is very common these days now. It's basically an app from your phone that allows you to credit your kid or teen or whoever's playing on the Xbox, credit time, screen time. And you can limit it so that, like, they only get an hour on the Xbox a day during the week. Maybe you can add bonus time if they've done their homework, which is kind of interesting. It actually shows in a little concept video, like, one of the kids in the house sending a message to the parent's app, can I have more time on the Xbox? And the parent can, like, accept or decline right there, which I think is kind of interesting. Is this now, Loki, you have kids. They're not maybe quite at that age yet where they're running this. Well, maybe, actually, maybe. I don't know. You'd have to tell me. Are they running the consoles by themselves at this point, or do they still need your help? And is this an app that you would use in your household? I know you don't have Xbox, but hypothetically. Yeah.
I don't have Xbox.
Yet. You ordered an X, though, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. Right. Yeah, I forgot to get into my game week. Yeah, I did get a pre-order for an Xbox Series X. So
We never talked about that. Yeah, we'll come back to that in a little bit, the pre-order game.
But I do actually use this because we have Microsoft accounts for Roblox. Well, he has it for Roblox and for Minecraft. So he has to have a Microsoft Store account in order to be able to do that. I did have family settings on there at one point, but then it got like annoying because we were trying to like do friend, like add each other as friends. Like I was trying to add my youngest son and it just was a pain in the butt to get to work right. So I just made him an adult in there. And so, but now he still has to ask me for permission to be able to buy something from the store because it won't, he doesn't have a payment card on file, but it was annoying. I had like, it's still a child account, but I like took all the restrictions off of it as far as like being able to add friends and stuff like that. Well, he still has the restrictions on it, but I had to do it to be able to add myself on there as so we could all play together. It's very frustrating to do the basic stuff on there, but they make it that way on purpose so that, you know, you can really lock it down if you want. But I get like emails and stuff of like how much time he's been spending in different apps and stuff like that. So yeah, so that would be kind of neat. I mean, he just doesn't play Xbox and he's probably not going to be playing the Xbox. So
No One Special 77 in chat over twitch.tv/VOG Network says, on paper this sounds good, but in practice I don't know, the typical kid ain't stupid. If you thought we were tech savvy as kids compared to our parents, kids nowadays are more so. They'll find a way around this. Well, the tools do get better, but
I will agree.
Yeah, some kids. Well, some kids figure out how to social engineer. That's what I did. Wink. What I mean by social engineer is, I got to help you fix your computer here, but it's asking me for your password to fix the computer. What's the password? And then you figure out your parents' password by helping with something. And, oh, how about that? It's the same password that lets me do these other things. I'm not saying I did or did not do that as a kid, but I will say my mom had a certain fondness for a certain Hawaiian island. Anyway. All right. Let's see, other comment. No, that's the only one in chat I was going to read right now. So, okay, so we'll see what develops with these apps and so forth with Microsoft. And I'm curious to see if they jump on the whole web app thing. We're going to get to the classic game of the week here, but actually before I do, let me insert, because you reminded us here. Yes, with all this talk, and it's been a fairly busy gaming news week between Tokyo Game Show and this huge news about Microsoft and ZeniMax and, you know, all that going on. So we didn't even talk about that Xbox Series X and S pre-orders happened this week, and we mentioned on last week's show, I said I am going to pre-order Xbox this time. I did not pre-order PlayStation 5 yet. That will be a 2021 thing, but I did decide to get Xbox Series X this year, and Loki also decided to get on the Xbox game. So how did it go for you with the pre-order, Loki?
It was rather pain-free. I mean, sure, there was sites that were buggy and stuff, so I tried getting it from a few different places at first, but then it kept saying sold out. I ended up getting it through Walmart originally, and it like three times when I processed it, it kept saying that they were sold out, even though I had got one. And by the third time, then it finally went through. even though I was in like that confirm thing. So I had to keep just hitting confirm on it. And then finally it went through once and I was like, cool, done. But like Amazon, I know immediately the site just crashed immediately. Or like it was, we were getting, you know, the something's wrong dogs, you know, and then Best Buy and even Microsoft site, it was just all like unavailable for a while. So luckily I was able to just be there right at 8 when it went live and ended up taking, you know, a pre-order with Walmart because that's where I had like some other stuff. So it just made sense to do it there.
Congrats. So I was looking right at 8 a.m. I was trying to look at a few sites. I was trying to look at Costco because that was on the original list on Microsoft's original press release. Costco is there. I don't think they ever did take pre-orders for Series X. So I'm sitting there trying to load it. Nothing's showing up. So I'm like, whatever. I'm just going to kind of do what a lot of people on Twitter do. And I'm going to watch that Wario64 account, which, you know, hey, props to the guy. He's very good at, or I guess it could be gal or non-binary running that account because they've never shown their face. It's just a personality. With the Wario64 account, they get like all the latest, you know, oh, these sites are pre-ordering. Now, if you didn't know this, they're hiding referral codes in those Amazon links. So all y'all that were using that account for your Amazon, like that guy just got a salary for the whole month off all, and probably then some from all your pre-orders for the Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5.
You know what?
You know, yeah, you know what?
He's doing a service.
He's doing a service. You're using the service. It's not costing you anything. So I'm not hating on him. I'm just saying that's, you know, that ain't nothing free, bitch. Anyway, that's what I'm saying. So I was watching that account in one window and I saw that Target was up and I was having that problem where I'd add it to the cart. My cart doesn't load. My cart's empty and all that other stuff. So I was just hitting a wall and I was like, why isn't Amazon up? Why isn't Amazon up? Then I see that tweet from Wario go up that says it's up on Amazon. But instead of clicking the link, I went, and I wasn't doing it to be a bitch and go around the referral. I was doing it because I didn't know what that was going to link to. And I wanted to make sure it was everything. I wanted to make sure it was the right vendor. So I searched Xbox Series X and I did confirm it was a Series X. Yes, I heard the stories about the One X's that went up in sale, but it was a Series X. And I went in and I pre-ordered it and I got it. And then I heard the link's not working, all this other stuff, like people were complaining about the links. I think what happened, I think to get around bots or to get around the site getting hammered, I think Amazon was cycling those links or killing those links like every 60 seconds. I really think that's what they were doing. So I think searching for it by hand allowed me to get in there pretty early and problem free. However, like many of you, about a week later, or no, not a week later, but a few days later, I got that email from Amazon. We're sorry to inform you that because of the demand of this item, you may not get it on the day. Blah, blah, blah. Everybody got that email for the Xbox, and everybody got that email for the PlayStation 5. I don't know why it's so fucking difficult for these stores to handle this, especially in the PlayStation 5. I get it because it was, you know, all oxen free for all. But in the Microsoft side, everybody knew when this was coming. And so it's a little difficult and it's a little disappointing to see that the sites still could not handle it. Concert tickets seem to work. But we might have to look at getting another system or something that to pre-order because this is getting really annoying. I don't know. I would have thought that Sony doing it the way they were doing it, where you would sign up to do a pre-order, I thought that was going to work, but Sony was completely unclear and not transparent on who got invited to do it and when. They made it sound like only Sony Elite were going to be able to do it, and so that was kind of stupid. So I really wish other retailers might adopt a similar strategy where you sign up in advance and you have to have either like you've 2FA'd your phone number. You have to have an existing account where you've bought at least one item on the site somewhere or something that would make it a lot harder for bots and scalpers to get in there. I don't know. So Some other stories in chat. Black Compat says, it took me an hour to check out my cart on the Microsoft Store site. I had a Series X in my cart at 11:06 Eastern, completed the dang process finally shortly after noon my time. Yeah, that's probably around the time I finally got through, or I got through on Amazon. I heard the Microsoft Store itself was having some problems. So that all was kind of an unfortunate experience. I don't know what to say about it. As far as my own Xbox, whatever at this point. If I get one launch day, cool. If I have to wait a few more weeks, whatever. You know, worst case scenario, I walk into a store and I buy one there and then I just cancel the Amazon pre-order. At least they don't charge you till they actually ship it. So, and it's like, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, sure, I'd like to have it on day one, but maybe the events of this year have just put a lot of things into perspective where it's like, some things are more important. And if I don't have an Xbox Series X the very first day, I will be able to go on with my life.
I was just like looking for also the accessories and stuff, like, because I'm like, okay, cool, got the pre-order. What's going to be a launch day game? I don't know. I don't know what's launching. Like, I don't know what the launch games are. I don't even know, like, what, like, where can I get another controller? You know, where is all this stuff? Because none of it was on their websites. So I guess I'll just have to wait and find that out. But
for,
like, I don't
for
even
me,
know what
Game Pass. It'll just well, Game right, Pass. Yeah. Yeah, will just be where my day one stuff comes from. And again, the enhanced backwards compatibility stuff that they're promising will make older. Like, I'm really excited to start No Man's Sky again on Xbox Series X because I don't see how it's not going to really run at like a PC equivalent, you know, on the Series X. And I don't know what type of things the developers are doing to bump that up, but I would imagine it's going to run very well on the eventual PlayStation 5 release, however they do that, and Xbox Series X. And that is kind of nice, especially after these stories about, you know, Spider-Man, you have to pay again. It is nice to know that on Xbox Series X and Game Pass, I'll be able to play No Man's Sky in sweet, sweet 4K that first day.
I guess I'll have my crossplay stuff that I completely forgot about because I have it on PC, like Crackdown 3 and Forza Horizon 4, and I'm sure there's other things when I still had Xbox Live Gold that I was adding stuff in, so who knows? It'll be a surprise.
Yeah, and I talked about this when I talked about getting an Xbox versus a PlayStation. Like, you know, I feel like PlayStation, okay, they have Spider-Man Miles Morales and they have the Demon's Souls remake, neither of which are games I'm that. Like, I'm like, okay, I'll check them out eventually, but do I need them day one? Nah. So I'm going to instead address the discrepancy at home that I have a PS4 Pro but an old Xbox One. So I'm going to bring up Microsoft, and at some point I'll catch PlayStation up as well next year. I just don't need to spend $1,000 on consoles and a new TV on top of that, because I don't have a 4K TV, but I got to fix that too. So something's got to wait for next year, and so it's going to be the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, I need to get a 4K monitor.
Yeah. All right. Now let's travel back to simpler times. Let's go back to the past. We're going to go back to a simple time when games, you know, you didn't have to have a 4K TV to play them on. You played them on your CRT television in glorious 320 pixel resolution, and you liked it. It's the classic game of the week, and usually
240. I mean,
was it 240? I thought it was like 320.
240p.
I guess it depends on what system it was. Anyhow, you Dark Sakura would usually be here and step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you brats should be checking this game out. But she is off tonight for Yom Kippur. She's not here with the show. She'll be back next week. So I have decided to fill in with a choice here. And I feel like this is one Loki might approve of. I don't know. We'll find out. But I have chosen a game that probably was most famous on the NES, and that's where the B-roll footage comes from tonight. But it was also very popular on Commodore 64 and a lot of other 80s and late 80s types of computing systems. The classic game of the week tonight is Skate or Die. That's right. Skate or Die. Do you like this game, Loki?
Yeah, I used to play with my friend down the street all the time. He had it on the NES.
Why did this guy in Skate or Die look like Rodney Dangerfield? I never understood that. Was it, I mean, and he was called
Rodney.
That's
the creator of the game, I think.
No, it's not. No.
I think no,
Rodney Dangerfield didn't make Skate or Die, Loki.
No, I understand that. Like, I thought that the guy that made it was don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
No, but his name is actually Rodney Recluse. So he even has the same name, except he has a tattoo and purple hair and stuff. His son, Bionic Lester, Bionic Lester might be the developer. I don't know. But the other guy is Rodney Dangerfield, and I never really understood why. Nobody's ever really explained this to me. All right, anyway. Tiger Claw in chat says maybe they were Rodney Dangerfield fans at the time. Still, it was maybe it was easier to steal people's likenesses in the 80s than it
probably.
Is today.
Just like, I don't know, who are we going to make this guy look like? How about Rodney Dangerfield? I don't know.
Anyway. All right, so this game was released by Electronic Arts, and it was released on the ZX Spectrum, Commodore 64, Atari ST, the Apple II, GS, the Amstrad, and IBM's under MS-DOS. It was also on the NES by Konami, but of course published by Ultra Games, which was how they got around the 3 games a year limitation in the U.S. Codemasters ended up handling the Atari version. Now, what's interesting about this game, it's kind of inspired by, even though it wasn't made by Epix, it was kind of in the style of the Epix Summer Games, Winter Games, California Games. You know all those games that Epix did back in the day, right? This is kind of that, okay? But it's all skating. I mean, obviously, I think like Half Pipe was one of the games in California Games. But they kind of made their own version of one of those types of games, and that's what Skater Die essentially is. It's a mini game collection. Wii Sports was a mini game collection. You know, a lot of times with the sports games, these mini games collections do pretty good. So, the original version was the Commodore 64 version. There were 3 programmers that made that, okay? They were previously with Epix, so that's why, you know, you can say it was inspired by those types of games, and those were the games that they had worked on. This game was inspired by 720, which I believe Jamie's covered on this show before. If not, we've certainly talked about it, which y'all know that as the popular coin-op skateboarding game that Atari made that ran off the same hardware that, like, Indiana Jones and Final Lap, or whatever their racing game was called, all that ran off the same hardware. There was several events: freestyle ramp event, high jump. There were downhill events, the downhill race and a downhill jam. And then there was a pool joust, or an empty pool. You would kind of skate and try to knock another person over. That was kind of interesting. So, the game did pretty well. It was known for its intro music. Again, the original version was the Commodore 64 version, and that was composed by Rob Hubbard, and it had a very Commodore 64 SID chip sound to it. It actually was redone by Koji Murata for the NES version. So the NES intro is that same Commodore 64 intro, just redone for the NES chips sound set, which I think is kind of interesting. So it sold over 100,000 copies, which isn't too shabby for a video game in that era. There were some follow-ups to this as well. There was Ski or Die. Did you ever play Ski or Die?
No, but I've heard of it. I think I did play the sequel, though.
It was very similar. And then there was also Skater Die 2, but Skater Die 2 was only on the NES, and that was in 1990. So Skater Die 2 also kind of wasn't the same, like, mini-game format that the other games were. But Rodney and Lester were back, so there is that. Supposedly, Criterion Games, the same folks that made Burnout, supposedly they were remaking Skater Die during the PlayStation 2 and Xbox One era, but the game was canceled. The good news is, though, that's how we got Burnout 3. So, but the Skater Die remake was in development for 12 months, and then they canceled it. So I'd be curious to see if there's a tell-all about that, or something that leaks some of the footage from that, or what have you, someday. So there you go. That's your classic game of the week, Skate or Die. And when it comes to myself and Skate or Die, I will probably just have to die because I'm a terrible skater. What about you, Loki? Were you ever a skateboarder?
No, I tried, but skating.
I could only really skate in video games, that's for sure. Some comments from our chat. Dark Tetsuya says, Skater Die 2 did have the half-pipe stuff, though. Yes. Let's see. Dark Tetsuya says, I think the joust music might be my favorite theme in this. Bionic Lester was unbeatable, though. Well, in the little video clip that we pull off YouTube, somebody was getting him, so there was that. So Sean322, talking about Rodney Dangerfield kind of being in the game, says, maybe the game got no respect. Well, it sold 100,000. I think it got a lot of respect, but I appreciate your pun, so there is that. So, yeah, some comments there from our chat on Skate or Die, the classic game of the week. All right, let's get into some fast news, some rapid fire news, which I think has a story in here. So, because I brought up Ultra Games, some of you guys are asking about a certain news topic, and I think we're going to get into it here shortly. So, Loki, rapid fire news tonight.
Yeah, so there was a game that I grew up with on the Windows, I think it was 3.1 maybe, but it's an old game called Chips Challenge. And it was a puzzle game that they had in, I can't remember, it was like the Windows like party pack or some sort of pack that had like little games in there. But Chips Challenge has actually now been released for free on Steam. So you can go check it out for free now and play the wonderful, it looks like it's slightly updated, but the game from the 90s. And yeah, it's pretty awesome. Go check it out.
I always crack up at stories about Chip Challenge because I know the guy who made it. We play games together. I've been to his house, Chuck. I got to get him on OLR at some point.
He's under Chuck's Challenge.
I know. He's talked to me about some of the things this game, because he knows I do this show and everything. He's talked to me about some of the stuff his game has been through. And he doesn't really do, as my understanding anyway, and I'll invite him on the show at some point so he can speak for himself. You know, obviously COVID is the thing right now. We could get him virtually, but I'd rather have him here in studio at some point. He might still be doing some, I mean, like you said, Chuck's Challenge and stuff. He does a lot of stuff that's really cool with, like lights. And so, like he's created stuff for like Ingress where like, you know, that tunnel in San Jose that changes from green to blue, depending on what team owns it in Ingress. He had something to do with that. Yeah. He had something to do with that. And he made a cool little light up portal. That's like a portal that travels to different events and stuff. So it's pretty cool. He's a very talented guy. One of the legendary game makers from back in the day that many of today's games were built on. So it's just like it's my one little like, oh, that guy. I know that guy. So, yeah, cool. Well, congrats to him and all the attention this game is getting. It is, like you said, many people in the Windows 3.1 era grew up on this game and know this game very well.
Yeah. So pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then to go along with that, there's some more games coming to PC. Some classic Metal Gear games are coming to Good Old Games. And this is part of the Konami Collector's Series. So they're going to have actually three Metal Gear games. So Metal Gear Solid, and Metal Gear Solid 2 are all going to be available on PC. So not bad. And, of course, I'd have to check out to see what they've done with those and see how those ports are, but yeah, pretty
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I might have to check it out. Like the fact that it's the MSX version of the game, and which they already had done for like a PlayStation, they were for a previous collection on PlayStation, but the fact that that's coming out on PC, that's awesome. Now, the Contra port, and that was all on Game Pass, the Contra stuff, and that was all on Game Pass back in the day, and they're okay. But, like, the Metal Gear thing is the most exciting out of that bunch for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Moving on and talking about some other quick news here. News out of Tokyo Game Show with Nier Replicant, which is like a redoing of the first game, which was just called Nier here in the U.S., but this is kind of like that extra version that changes the character to ones that we kind of know more from Nier Automata. But anyway, Nier Replicant is going to be launching all over the world on April 23rd, 2021. I'm sorry, North America and Europe is the launch days for that, April 23rd, 2021. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC via Steam. The full title of the game is Nier Replicant version 1.22474487139. I don't know what the full title means, but there you go. It is, of course, the alternate edition of the original 2010 Nier. So that's pretty cool. I'll have to check that out because I loved Nier Automata. I need to finish it still. I know there's going to be I'm going to get an email. Did you ever finish Nier Automata? Isn't it great? And I'm like, oh, I got distracted by other games. Sorry. Happens all the time. All right. And then we have news about Mortal Kombat 11. Apparently, some data mining has showed that there is alternate voice acting in the game. And get this, It's from the 90s movies actors. Now, we all know that Shang Tsung, they already did that, right? But yeah. Apparently this new dialogue that was data mined out of the game is Christopher Lambert is in it. That's awesome, who played Raiden in the movie. Remember that?
Was it actually just like clips from the movie, or was it
new recordings? And Lyndon Ashby, who played Johnny Cage, and Bridget Wilson, who's now Bridget Wilson Sampras, who played Sonya, is also there. So I don't know if that's going to be DLC or what, but we can say the YouTube that had all the clips got taken down by Warner Brothers. So where there's smoke, there's Scorpion. So we'll see what comes of that. Honestly, if I get to replace Ronda Rousey in Mortal Kombat 11, I think that's a great thing. So... that's cool that they got Bridget Wilson to do that. So, and you know what?
Yeah.
As cheeseball as that 90s movie is, like, I think it just means a lot to a certain generation. You know, like, a lot of us grew up with that. And so it's really cool to have those actors and actresses back.
Maybe it'd be like the 25th anniversary or something. I was just trying to see when the movie came out, but this is back in August. So I thought maybe they would do something, you know. Halloween's right around the corner. Maybe they're going to do something with that.
Maybe. They'll find some way to charge us more for it. All right, let's travel around the world and check out some game releases coming out soon with some world release dates. Loki, what's coming out in the U.S. this week?
So this week we've got Genshin Impact on PC, PlayStation 4, iOS, and Android. Panzer Dragoon Remake on PlayStation 4. Return One Way Trip on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Spelunky 2 is coming on PC this week. Umehara Kawase Bazooka on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Warsaw on PlayStation 4. And I think maybe Shantae is also coming out this week as well on Nintendo Switch. Super Mario Bros. 35 is coming out this week on the Switch. We've also got Warsaw on Switch as well. Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And Star Wars Squadrons on the PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. I didn't realize that was that soon.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was
in November.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that soon either. All right, let's travel to Japan and check out some releases out there this week. So this week we have a few things. We have... sorry, I got thrown off because there's some releases showing on September 30th, but it's all hardware. So I think the game releases, it doesn't look like we actually have any on Nintendo Switch this week. Okay, we do have some on PlayStation 4. We have Star Wars Squadron is also out in Japan this week, and Crash Bandicoot 4 is out in Japan, also on October 2nd. And Ease Origin also has a release this week on the PlayStation 4 this week. So... a fairly quiet week in Japan, although all of those titles are pretty big deals, so I guess it's not that quiet. Dark Sakura is not here to cover the UK tonight, but possibly Loki can get us those dates in her absence.
Yep. So we also have Untitled Goose Game coming out on PlayStation 4 and Switch. I believe that's the physical version of that. Let's Sing Queen coming out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Human Fall Flat on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. That's the anniversary edition. Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Star Wars Squadrons on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Warborn on PlayStation 4 and on the Switch. And then we've got also Distress Collector's Edition on Nintendo Switch. And that's it.
All right. Let's get into some more news then before we get to the listener roundtable tonight. So, Loki.
Yeah, so Sega is looking to make Yakuza into a movie. So that sounds pretty awesome. Apparently, they're working to develop an adaptation with 1212 Entertainment and Wild Sheep Content. And apparently they're also looking for script writers as well. So very early into the whole process, but I think that would make a very interesting movie.
My dumbass was about to say, has Sega ever gotten into films before? And then forgetting, oh yeah, like the last major release before all this happened was the Sonic film.
No, they haven't done anything.
Did they ever confirm a sequel for Sonic? They had to have,
yes.
Right?
No. Yes, they already have.
Got it.
I think Bob. They even dated it, but I don't remember exactly when it was. But I'm pretty sure it was probably like 2022 or something.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, damn it, the Sonic film reappears on VOG. Look, actually, it's this weird dystopian thing right now because there are movie theaters out there, especially here in California, that have been closed since March. So you go and you look like what posters are hanging up, and it's still like Sonic. Because that was the movie that was out when all this bullshit started happening. So yeah, and other movies too, but it's weird.
It's scheduled for April 8th, 2022 right now.
But assuming they can... Well, I mean, I guess movies are shooting again with COVID and all that stuff. They have guidelines.
Hey, was it Avatar 2 confirmed 100% wrapped now? So
really?
Coming out at some point.
In these crazy times, they were able to finish that?
Apparently.
Wow. Let's see.
Now, how many years is it going to take to CG animate everything? I mean, that's the whole other problem.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, our theaters reopened here. They're only showing like three films. And they're starting to slowly open again here in California, depending on your county. Because you mentioned, Loki, last week, you went and saw Tenet. You had to drive up to El Dorado, which is in a different county, because they have this interesting system that's like a four-tier system. So it's like if you still have high COVID numbers, you're in the purple tier, and a lot of stuff is still
really
like outdoor
stupid
only.
Because it's like, oh yeah, those are like borders. No one can possibly go from one county to the other. Just
right.
Like,
yeah.
It's dumb.
As long as folks are still taking precautions, it's when people just say, oh, COVID's not real, and don't bother with any precautions at all. That's when Florida's about to do. Sorry, I don't mean to like get political, but science isn't political. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. And so, it's kind of scary in that area. What's that where they're just like, it's not, just everything back
still
to
drive-ins.
Normal.
Drive-in theaters are like ever more popular.
Yeah.
Was it Rocky Horror at the drive-in?
I might be saying too much, but they were trying to see if we could pull off a live Rocky Horror, but we didn't have enough notice to do it. And the social distancing makes it very hard to do Rocky live. So for this, because they're doing it at the drive-in like next week, or no, I think it was yesterday, because that's how they wanted to turn it around real fast. But they are looking into it for October. I hope I'm not saying too much. But they're looking in to see if they could do the performance in October. I don't know how they would compensate for social distancing and all that, though. I think they were talking about a system where instead of the characters all interacting, like each character would be in a little place on the stage and they would kind of do their motions and acting in that place on the stage. It would be a little weird, but that's how they could do it safely. Or I should say per guidelines. So... Okay. Yep. All right. Anyhow, let's move on and talk about Kirby Fighters 2. Kirby Fighters 2, surprise, it just came out. And I don't know if Nintendo was kind of forced to do it because they kind of spilled it themselves. It leaked on one of their, but it showed up on one of their websites as like a game, basically. And so Nintendo confirmed it. So they confirmed in a tweet, a brand new Kirby game is available now. Kirby Fighters 2 is $20. It's a Kirby versus Kirby game. It's kind of like Smash Brothers Lite. Sort of. I'm really oversimplifying it, but what would you expect a game like Kirby Fighters to be when Kirby is a character in Smash Brothers? But that is something you can check out, and there's all sorts of different Kirby hat fighters and DDD and all that good stuff. I have not played the game myself yet. I'd have to ask ActDeft how it is. If you're wondering, where was Kirby Fighters 1? It was part of Kirby Triple Deluxe, which was a 3DS game they put out in 2014. And then I believe they put a standalone version of that out on Switch not that long ago, maybe about a year ago. Times feels kind of frozen right now ever since March. But I think it was probably a little over a year ago that Kirby Fighter game was out on the Switch. So, and ActDef says, no, I haven't gotten it yet. Shock. Wow. All right. Anyway, let's move on.
All right.
Loki.
So Nintendo has sent a DMCA notice against Peach's Untold Tales. Now, you may have not heard of this game. It is a XXX parody game featuring Princess Peach and doing, I'm sure, completely wholesome things. But so they have basically taken it down off of GitHub. Of course, it's the internet, and being that it's been on the internet for several years already before they, I don't even know why they just took it down now, but I'm sure you can find it out there, and it's just, it's all the things you would think it would possibly be.
It's something only the internet could have done.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's really stupid. It is weird, though, that it existed for so long, and then just now Nintendo's getting around to taking it down. Although, couldn't you argue that some of it is parody? But I
the
guess
the whole thing is parody, but they're saying that
it's a little too close to home, maybe.
They're saying that it's too similar. It copyrights that fringes on copyrights from Super Mario Maker to Mario Kart to Mario Galaxy and Smash Brothers. I guess, like, probably because it's saying it's like Mario and Princess Peach and stuff like that. Maybe they're saying that that's what's the problem. If they were just like, it's Mushroom Princess and, you know, they just change the name.
The Italian Plumber.
Kinda, yeah, kind of like how they do like
Green Mario.
Stuff like that. Green Mario. Yeah, there you go. So, yeah.
All right.
So it's been taken down. So obviously you can't find it on the internet.
Yeah. You know what, totally though? It's fine. Unlike a lot of the types of stories we talk about with that, I have zero interest in this garbage, whatever. I'm just surprised that, yeah, it didn't get away. Because, like, you know, you have pornos that come out that are like parodies of like the Lord of the Cock Ring or whatever. You know, you get like, I don't even know if that's a real thing. I assume it is. You get these parodies of TVs and movies all the time and porn. So it seems logical that it would happen in video games as well. But yeah, probably usually when they do the parodies of porn, they change all the names, right? Yes. Even when it's real people. Like I remember there was... what was it? Nayland Palin. You remember when Sarah Palin was everywhere because she was the VP nominee? And of course, mm-hmm. you know, they like would change the name. So it was like, you know, Susie
yes,
Palin
they
or something.
One of the stars actually looked very similar to her. So they made a ton of movies
yeah.
with that.
Yeah. So anyway, and they usually change, but this parody, yeah, like you said, they should have changed Mario and Peach to different, you know, things. Which, considering there's a peach emoji that represents... All right, you know what? Never mind. We're not going to continue this conversation. All right, moving on. Let's instead talk about something that I'm fucking sick of talking about this. And I didn't really want to bring this up again tonight. I'm going to, like, one more time. But I'm not talking about this again. Of course, somebody's going to quote me on this. The saying that's going to come back to haunt me. I'm not talking about this again until we fucking get a confirmation on this. And it's the Mass Effect trilogy again, because another retailer has leaked it again. And this is a Czechoslovakian retailer, Herny Svit. I'm probably saying that completely wrong. Sorry. Maybe it's probably Henry Svit. I bet it's more like that. Anyway, it is a October 15th release on their systems, which that is way too soon. Unless it's a digital only thing, but then why would a retailer be taking orders for it? So it doesn't make any sense. But they have cover art. Now, GameStop makes up their own cover art sometimes, but it does. I mean, this is what the cover art I would expect could look like. It's just a picture of Shepard, male Shepard, unfortunately, for those that believe Fem Shep. Maybe on the backside is Fem Shep. That would be the way to do it. Have one Shepard on one side and one on the other. It's like when you, or you could take the cover and flip it. That would be a great way to do it, too. I think Mass Effect 3 really was like that. But anyway, it does have cover art, and it's happening. Now, there's this story, and there was another one, and I forget what blog ran it. I'm sorry. But it spilled a lot more details. And it was basically like, yes, it's happening. And the reason why it's held up, they took the multiplayer out from Mass Effect 3. They're not looking, so I was a little disappointed to hear that, but I get it. But they are trying to, quote unquote, fix Mass Effect 1. And the Mass Effect 1 development is the holdup. And they're not saying what they are fixing in that, but I could theorize, as somebody who really enjoys that game, the graphics are a bit dated compared to the other two games. They probably have to catch that up. And those Mako driving sequences were horrific. So they're probably either changing that system completely or making that a little more bearable. So those are some things they kind of need to fix in Mass Effect 1. Because, you know, people are going to want to play these games in order if they pick up this collection. And they're not going to get to 2 and 3 if 1 some will argue with me. I tweeted about this and I even got responses that were like, well, Rob, one's the best game. And it's like, okay, look, but the game elements, I don't think they're going to change combat. They might, though. I guess we'll see. But I really don't think the types of changes they're making are going to ruin, you know, whatever you feel like about Mass Effect 1. So anyway, there you go. That was the other big piece, is that, you know, that we get news from the inside or whatever. However, the news is leaking because it just constantly leaks because EA won't confirm it for whatever fucking reason. But anyway, the news that multiplayer is out and a Mass Effect 1 redo of sorts is in, which is what a lot of people were probably theorizing anyway. At this point, I would guess that it's going to end up being a November 7th thing. But I, for one, am not going to talk about this shit anymore until they confirm it. I'm done. If Jamie brings it up, that's on her. She's not here, so maybe she's still got one more in her. But I'm not bringing this up anymore. All right. Anyway, that's it. You want to talk about the Mass Effect trilogy, Loki?
I have played like a little bit of one, and that's it. So,
well, what was it you didn't? Why didn't you play more of one?
I don't know. I just didn't like it because my coworker loaned it to me, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll totally check it out because it sounded really cool. Yeah. I didn't like it. I don't know. I didn't quite get into it.
Well, and maybe some of these changes will be a good thing for you. And I'm going to open up the listener roundtable. If you guys have some questions in chat or something you want to talk about, go ahead and ask away in chat. Phoenix7726 in chat says, 2 had the best story, 3 had the best combat, 1 was still solid, in my opinion. I'm not saying 1 is a bad game by any means. It's just 1 is not at the same level, like graphically and engine-wise, that 2 and 3 were at. And so I do think there is a disconnect. But if there's one thing they're not going to change in 1, it's the story. They're not going to change the story. Well, I'm going to take those words back. Because I really loved the idea that maybe they would put back in some of the romance options they cut the first time. Like maybe they would allow Caden to be romanceable by M. Shep in the first game. And why stop there? Why not maybe have some other romances that show up later on end up in the first game? I don't know what else they might have cut or things like that. But it would be kind of cool to see that stuff restored. But I am talking about additional content. I'm not talking about taking anything away or something that would fundamentally change the core of that story. So, but, you know, whatever changes they make, they're not going to change the story of one. And I think that's very important. All right. We will get into last minute stories in a moment, but I have at least one roundtable question here coming from No One Special, who says, okay, granted, as far as I know, I'm the only one here that is a heavy GOG user. But hypothetically, if you all were as well, and given that Konami is now listing games on GOG and Sega's Panzer Dragoon is there too, is there any publishers or games that you would like to see on the service? Yes. And actually, one reason I'm not a heavier user of GOG is that it feels like lately they're just kind of playing a lot of catch up to what, you know, Steam and everybody else in the space is doing. What made GOG interesting was GOG. And they got away from that at some point, which I get it, you know, and I'm sure somebody's about to clap back in chat that, well, once they kind of exhausted all of the retro things they could get their hands on, and so the only way they could stay competitive was to be more like Steam. Well, my response to that is, okay, but this is the first time that GOG has done something that's really made me turn my head in quite some time, is that story we just talked about earlier tonight, that now Konami is putting out the MSX version of Metal Gear, the superior version of Metal Gear that most people here in the U.S. never played, because the NES version, although it's not bad, especially when it's all you ever knew, it is subpar compared to the MSX version. So the fact that GOG has dug that up, I mean, yes, it was from the Metal Gear Solid 3 PlayStation thing, whatever. They did that all day. But the fact that they've brought that to PC and brought that to the forefront, here's a way to get it now, today, without having to find a game that was on sale 10 years ago and all that stuff, that is very interesting and something I will probably return to GOG to look at. So that's my answer, my very long-winded answer to your question, No One Special, is that what makes GOG interesting is GOG. It's in the name. And there are plenty of older games they could still go back and try to get on their service. And it's nice to see that with this Konami thing, they haven't necessarily stopped that. Now, I don't know who initiated that conversation. Was it Konami? Was it GOG? I don't know. But this is a good direction. More, please. So that's my answer to that. What about you, Loki?
I didn't use them much other than some of the free games that I've gotten from them. I know that they have that cool launcher that came out a while back that's supposed to bring your Epic Game Store and Steam library all together. But, like, I don't know. It's just fine just loading each of those up separately, so I don't really need it. But, yeah, I don't know. There's not really anything drawing to me them to me or for me to them more than the other platforms. Mm-hmm. Maybe if they had like Humble Bundles or something with their keys in there or something. I don't know.
No one special follows up and says, for me, what draws me to that site is that the games are DRM free. I have the peace of mind that if GOG goes away, if I downloaded the installers, I won't lose my game. There's no guarantee that Valve would hit the turn off the DRM button if they go out of business. I think it's in the terms that you accept, actually. I think legally Valve has to hit that button. But let's say, I'm going to humor your argument here, let's say that button doesn't get hit for whatever reason. Publishers could still find a way to turn it off for you. Not that everybody would do it, but a bunch would. But I get it. I'm not trying to, like, debate your point, really, because you like what you like, and that's... Go ahead. Like, it's good. The competition in the space is a good thing. And if that's where you like to shop, excellent. Like, I like to shop at Target. I really don't like going to Walmart. There's people that feel the exact opposite that I do. Choice is cool. And it's fine. There's not necessarily a right or a wrong answer. It kind of just depends on how you were treated or whatever at one place versus another. So, but yeah, GOG will continue to grab my attention when they release really cool older games. Like that Myst VR thing. Did that ever come up on the show? I don't remember if we talked about that last week or the week before.
Yeah, I think we brought it up last week that briefly. It was a game that was coming out.
That's kind of a neat little thing. Now, what about Uru Myst Online? Did that ever come back somewhere? Did they ever get that running again? I'd be curious
about
that.
But right. Was it Minecraft VR came out this week as well?
Oh, yeah.
Update for PlayStation.
Yeah, I need to hook
4,
up my headset and get that going again. Yeah,
so that was cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. ActDeft in chat with another roundtable question here, who asks, with more games adopting crossplay, which game that right now doesn't have it would you like to see adopt it? Ooh. I don't think there's a lot of games I play a ton of. I'm stuck because the games I play the most right now, this week, Final Fantasy and No Man's Sky, both already have it. Trying to think of something that would be really cool. I don't know, Loki. I'm stumped. Is there something for you? What about you guys?
I don't play a lot of multiplayer games, so I can't really think of anything.
That's a good... Bobby has a good answer. Fall Guys. I forget that that doesn't have it. That's a very good answer. I'm going to copy and steal that answer. Fall Guys is a good one for that. I keep forgetting it doesn't have that. I'm also waiting for Fall Guys on the Switch. It seems like the definitive thing Nintendo needs to have
on
that system.
Well, that was part of that leak, or leaked, if you will, direct thing. It's a bunch of fan wank, but, like, yeah, I don't know.
My uncle said. Overwatch is a good one, too. Ooh, Diablo 3 on the Blizzard front. I'd love to see Diablo 3. I hope Diablo 4 is crossplay. You know, Diablo 3 is kind of sunsetting at this point as Diablo 4 is getting more and more. So,
you had me there at No One Special 77 with the SNL fighters until it was a typo. That would be an interesting fighting game.
The fighting games. I thought some of the fighting games were crossplay. I guess not Street Fighter, though. I thought Mortal Kombat did have some crossplay in it. I guess I could be wrong. Orange Wright with a very good comment here. If a leak gives you everything you wanted, it's probably fake. That's very, very good advice. And that was probably the thing I read in there where it was like Fall Guys today on the Switch where I was like, nah, it's fake. Come on. Okay, ActDev says Street Fighter is crossplay between PC and PS4. And it's, I think, still free for a few more days on PlayStation Plus. If you do, I did check that out. I downloaded it. I don't think I brought it up during my gaming week because I didn't play it a lot. And this is more last week than this week. But that is something that you can get on PlayStation Plus right now. So, all right. How about some last-minute stories, Loki? Let's see if we get any other last questions in chat. But for now, some last-minute stories.
So we're going to probably have a little bit more about this next week. But Minecraft Live is on Saturday. And they're doing their vote for the new mob for the game. So I'm a little disappointed at what they've shown off so far. So two of the mobs that are they're putting up for vote are already mobs that are in Minecraft Earth, which, and they're kind of lame anyways. So the Moobloom, which is basically a cross between, it's like a mushroom, but with flowers instead of mushrooms. And then they have a glow squid, which is a squid, but it glows. And then the Ice Olliger, which is a new villager type mob, but they just added a bunch of those in like the village and pillage one. It's not as cool as like the phantoms. I don't know if the phantom was really cool, but like I was hoping there'd be better stuff. They should just add all of them. Like seriously, I had a mod in my realm already that added the Moobloom and the glow squid. I don't know. It's not that hard to implement that stuff. I don't know why they don't just do all three, but whatever.
Maybe something to add content for some time.
Yeah, I guess it's just to get people excited about stuff. So yeah. But they're going to do, it's basically in place of the whole Minecon thing since obviously COVID. But so they're going to do the Minecraft Live, which I believe is on, I know it's Sunday or Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific and whatever that translates to for everybody else. So I will watch all that, and it's going to have like details about Minecraft Earth, their Minecraft Dungeons, which I still haven't played, even though I have it, and then of course Minecraft proper. So we'll see.
All right. Anything else for last minute stories?
No, I think that's it.
All right, and I don't think I see any other questions in our chat, so I think we'll go ahead and wrap up for tonight. I know it's a little bit earlier, but we're down a host tonight, and it's just a little bit of a shorter show sometimes. Actually, no, we're still over 2 hours, about 2 hours, 15 minutes, so still a pretty good chunk of show. Because there was some busy things this week with the whole Microsoft big purchase there of ZeniMax, as well as the Tokyo Game Show, although I don't think Tokyo Game Show was quite as news-heavy as it was in previous years. And I think a lot of that is
find more stuff of that.
Well, a lot of that is because Sony just did that thing 2 weeks ago where they kind of put all their cards on the table. I don't think Sony did Tokyo Game Show this year. Nintendo never does Tokyo Game Show, but I feel like a lot of the big announcements were in Sony's PS5 event because that's not usually the type of thing that would have been this close to Tokyo Game Show. That is the stuff we should have got during E3, using my quotey fingers. But of course, COVID fucked everything up. So, you know, it screwed up timeline. So I think it just made the Tokyo Game Show feel a little lighter this year than it usually is. And just the whole situation of it being virtual and everything, you know. So,
yeah. So it was basically, I'm just kind of looking at a lot of it is stuff that was covered in the directs that we've seen from Nintendo and like some of the other things. So they had it was pretty much just like a few of the Japanese games that were mentioned in the direct. So like the new Hyrule Warriors game, they've got the new Monster Hunter, new Replicant, they talked about that a little bit, Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires, Balan Wonderland, Cyberpunk, they had that new video that wasn't quite related to Tokyo Game Show, but that was also there, Resident Evil Village, just the Devil May Cry 5 stuff, Biohazard Infinite Darkness, which is a new series coming to Netflix.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it's just it's a lot of follow-ups on things we already knew about, which is still cool, and especially, you know, if you're following those games, but it was just wasn't like a lot of like new information. So, but that's okay, you know. Again, it's been a weird news cycle this year. Everything's been weird this year. So, all right. Well, that is about going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. I want to thank you guys for spending time with us this week, whether you're here with us live on Sunday night as we tape here at VOG Network, or if you were listening on the podcast feed. We really appreciate it. A nice 5-star review of this show on iTunes or wherever it is that you found this show goes an awful long way. If you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here to put out on the air, then, you know, we're not really really getting all the voices. Help us tell a friend. A tweet about the show is a great thing. Auto hosting on Twitch is awesome. Even if you don't do a lot of streaming yourself, still throwing a VOG network that auto host does a lot for exposure. And we really, really appreciate people that go the extra mile and do that. I also wanted to say, if you want to continue the conversation during the week, a lot of the chatter in Discord's been picking up lately, and that's great. So you can join us on Discord, vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com/Discord, where you can follow some conversations for ourselves here at Orange Lounge Radio, Bobby Blackwolf, Anime Jam Session, other great shows on VOG as well. British Invaders, I know, put out a couple big episodes recently about some big 50th anniversaries that are happening. Lots of great stuff. So, check that out. And then, of course, the VOG roundtables and all that info is there as well. And folks chat about some of the we get a lot of headlines posted in Discord during the week that sometimes we do take those and use them on the show and talk about those conversations. So thanks to all you that are participating over there. That's going to do it. I hope you guys have a great week. Some happy gaming. I know I'm probably going to play way too much more No Man's Sky and Hades and all that stuff, but I'll try to fit in some new games, too. Loki, hopefully you have a productive week working on your game or playing some new ones, whatever you choose to do.
I'm still waiting. My music guy is having time management issues.
All right.
So
it's fine.
So thankfully I have a backup music guy that's doing it for free. So so I'll have more music from them, but I've already given him crap about that because he's like 7 days past due. So,
All right. Thanks again, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days to do this show all over again. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time on Orange Lounge Radio. Dark Sakura will be back next week, and we'll get caught up with her. And it will be October. It'll be spooky season officially. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into vognetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.